Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Ah, good times. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. We will talk to you now and probably only now.
Yeah.
Let's see. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big Old Brian.
Who screens these calls?
Let me pose a good show today, by the way, at least on paper. Chris Hansen.
Yeah, you can't go wrong
there. Catch a predator.
You're naked. There's a 14-year-old girl. You're chasing a cat around. You've got Cool Whip.
My absolute favorite.
I can't get enough of that show. I can't get enough of Human Behavior. There's so many things I can't get enough of. That show, the two things that I always enjoy the most is what the guys are wearing when they show up at the alleged 14-year-old's house who they're going to have sex with. Oftentimes, cut-off sweatpants and a wife beater, maybe a flip-flop, sometimes a flip-flop and a half.
Right.
Yeah. It's the same question I have when I see the guy in court wearing the Making Bacon t-shirt. I think you couldn't pull it together for this one day.
Yeah.
One day. And it's not, we're not living in a time where you have to have your shirts made for you. There's a Banana Republic on every corner. There is a Old Navy on every corner. Hell, there's a thrift shop on every corner. Go over there and get one decent button-up shirt. You ever see that guy at the funeral? You know, there's that guy who, when everyone is wearing a suit, he's wearing a really bad sweater.
Yes.
That's his idea. Every carpenter I ever worked with, that's what it was. When something came around, like someone got married, and they show up, they just put a crappy sweater. Oftentimes, somebody would be married in, like, July, and the guy would be wearing a red sweater with a Christmas tree on it. And I would always think to myself, I'm poor, too. I have a shirt with buttons and a collar that I keep for just such occasions.
The death or wedding shirt?
Yes.
The beginning and the end.
Yes,
shirt.
You see, right. You see the, or the beginning of the end
right.
and the end,
yes.
as I like to say,
you'll be right.
Right.
Yeah.
So you don't have one thing in your goddamn closet that would be appropriate to wear to this person's wedding and or funeral, and I feel the same with these guys. These guys, and, you know, everyone goes, well, these guys are nuts or whatever. Well, they drove 250 miles. They stopped off and bought a case of condoms and a squirt gun and filled it with jelly. They can get things done when they want to get things done.
Absolutely.
How about you grab yourself a shirt or a crew neck sweater?
I mean, just listen to the litany of the first guy. So you're running around in your underwear, chasing a cat. And you've got some Cool Whip.
Right. Yes.
That man has resources.
Sure.
And Adam, you also love when the predators, you know, they read the chat logs, and some of their tactics to pick up the 13-year-olds are not that effective.
Hey, I'm going to break off the Lincoln Monument, come over there and rape you with it. Or Washington Monument.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Lincoln would hurt.
Either way.
But Washington Monument, I'm going to come over there and rape you with the Washington Monument. And like, was there a 14-year-old? Brian, give me. That sounds hot. I hope you have friends who have monuments who can come and rape me with them as well. Perhaps we'll get Roosevelt's head off of Mount Rushmore. Like, really? Aren't you supposed to be talking to 14-year-olds about boy bands? And the whole thing about 14-year-olds is you're supposed to be pretending like you don't want to do that with them. And then once you get in the door and you ask the important question, are your folks around? Once you get the answer to that question, then you begin the sexual abuse. You don't do it from 200 miles away. Okay, I'm going to get a traffic cone, and I'm going to lube it with bacon fat and rape you with it. Does that sound hot?
Great, let me make the sweet tea.
Yeah. No, you're supposed to do that thing where it's like, hey, I got a new iPod. You want to check out some Justin Timberlake? Yes.
He's bringing sexy back, you know.
Yes. I got a Powerpuff Girls cozy for my
iPod.
Cell phone. Yeah, I'm bringing it over. Bring one for you, baby. That's the way it goes. They should know. Look, I don't want to help the pedophiles out, but here's a little tip for you that you won't hear from David Schwimmer on this crappy thought you'd want to know PSAs. if you're talking to a alleged 14-year-old and you're telling her about all kinds of weird crap you want to do to her, and she says, that sounds hot, come on by, that's not a 14-year-old.
No. That's a 16-year-old, easy.
Or it's Chris Hansen's
people. I'd say it's Chris Hansen. You know,
well,
be nice.
I'm wondering if they compare the chat logs with pedophiles who got away with it until they were eventually caught.
Right.
And the pedophiles who fall for this trap and see if they compare work.
Oh, I like what you're saying. You're saying that Chris Hansen's show selects for the stupidest of all the pedophiles because they're the ones who walk into the trap.
I don't know if they select.
And the smart ones are allowed to fester.
I don't know if they select, but you've got essentially
selection.
My point.
Yeah.
Is certainly they filter down to the guys that want to rape you at the Washington Monument, and they think you're 14 and don't talk about their iPod.
Right, a smart one doesn't show up.
But the smart one doesn't show up. Maybe there are 14-year-olds that are going for this, that really do type back, that sounds hot, or I love that, and they write I, and then some weird insignia that means love.
Those are the 15-year-old boys with their buddies that are goofing on those guys.
Okay.
I don't know, like, and there are troubled teens, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, if you're trying to pick up someone online, and you're having a conversation, no matter what age they say they are, and you're having a very graphic conversation about what you're going to do to them sexually, there's a low percentage chance you're actually ever physically going to be with that person. Versus a, we both kind of know what we're talking about conversation, but not graphic conversation. I think the people that do their talking, there's people that talk and people that do. I think the people that are getting really graphic on the computer are talking. I think it's like phone sex. Like, oh, big boy, I'm going to come over there and I'm going to... They never actually show up over there.
And not and be pedophiles because I in
pedophile
real
pedophile or not.
Nah, I got to disagree with you here.
Hmm.
There was a short window between Danny Get Out and Amy saying, Danny, come on in, where I cast a pretty wide net.
Mm-hmm.
And I am still shaking, for lack of a better term, some of these women, because for the time, you know, I'm with Amy right now. It's the easiest thing. I like her. You know, I'm with this one girl. And I'm still shaking some of these people. And any weird stuff they send me, I save in case they turn out to be lunatics.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen some of these grown women that have texted me outlandish messages. And I've saved every naked picture of themselves they've ever sent me.
I would still argue that those people are more show than go. Plus, you're a case because you're Danny Bonaduce.
I will give you that.
Your average,
they know I'm not the cops.
Your average guy's a long-haul trucker or right. whoever. There's people that want to talk about it, and there's people that want to do it.
Right.
I had a... I don't know how I stumbled on some phone sex stalker or something many years ago when I was living in an apartment. And she had this whole rap about being a nurse and wanting to get it on and all that kind of stuff.
I haven't done the phone.
I even went looking for it at a certain point, very desperate. But the point is she wanted to talk about it, and I didn't want to talk about it.
Right.
I'd just be like, why don't you come over here, and we won't have to talk about it, or I'll come over to your place, we won't have to talk about it. But I don't want to talk about it. I want to do it.
Right.
And I find the people that really want to do it, they don't want to talk about it that much because they don't want to screw it up.
Right.
What
absolutely.
They want to do is talk just enough. You know, they'll do that. Look, just give me your address. We'll talk eye to eye. We don't have to, you know. And the whole purpose that they state is I'm going to come over there, but it's not to have sex with you.
Right.
I'm coming over there to get to know you better.
I want to get to know you better.
I'm bringing a case of condoms, and I'm going to dip myself in Astroglide. I'll be leaving a snail trail of Astroglide up the walkway. Well,
it's
anyway.
Like he reads my email. Chris,
Chris Hansen is coming on the show this morning, and I couldn't be more excited. And
I take it you're a virgin.
Here's another guy who's really... The comedians, Chris Hansen. Patton Oswalt is going to be on the show.
He's in that Ratatouille movie.
He's Ratatouille. And what is he? Boy, you know, it'd be a nice double bill for the kids. Ratatouille and Ricky Tikki Tavi.
Really?
I don't know why. I just
want
to announce that to my kids. Kids, get in the minivan. We're going to go see Ratatouille and Ricky Tikki Tavi. They'll be like, Dad, have you had a stroke? Honey, put the wallet in his mouth. I think he's choking out. Is he Ratatouille?
He's the rat.
He's the rat. And
this is supposed to be great.
That's what I hear, and people will see these Pixar movies sight unseen now. I mean, they don't need to see even commercials.
I was going to say, is there another way to see a movie?
Well, what I mean is you don't have to hear good reviews or hear anything. It's like, that's what you want.
There's money in kids.
You have a mark. Oh, but there's money in reputation. This is what Pixar does. Pixar comes out with one great animated film after the next. And then when the next one comes out in 2 years, people just line up to go see it.
Right.
Hey, it's Pixar.
Yeah, they're the best. But I just meant that, you know, if you could get kids, I don't know, hooked on heroin, there'd be a fair amount of money in that if you could get into the Pixar business. Just the way my mind works.
Start with Benadryl.
Also, we'll do a little Huell-Hauser.
Yeah.
Too much. I mean, Chris Hansen, Patton Oswalt, Huell-Hauser, and Kevin James we'll hear from.
Ah, we'll do that as well. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, Huell-Hauser, Google him, baby. My favorite ever since I was in the ninth grade. Huell, yes, Brian.
They tell me we have a tease.
Ah, tease for Huell-Hauser. Let's hear that.
She's standing here. Looks like you're not catching any fish.
That's okay. I don't have a license. My son is over there looking for mussels.
Oh, okay. So you're just kind of here. What are you eating?
Sunflower seeds.
So you're just kind of hanging out on the pier.
That's a quiet place.
Yeah.
It used to be, Hugh, until your big marine ass came up and shoved a mic in my face.
If they ever sent him to catch predators.
I don't know how we're going to top this.
I think it'd be more likely it would catch you.
Huell walks around with a camera and disturbs people who are trying to be left alone, and then we have to watch it for a half hour, but I can't turn my eyes away from it. It's so compelling. Never before has nothing been so compelling.
You know, I'll tell you real quick, because I know we got to go to break, but you know how I said you've been watching this guy since the ninth grade?
Yes.
Do you guys like to hear your steady girlfriend look at you as like, Corolla? I've been listening to him since the seventh grade.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Scary.
Yeah. Just a tad frightening right there.
But that's also probably how she learned about sex.
Well, the thing that is scary
she can do crazy monkey stuff for a 25-year-old.
The thing that's scary about time is the time from the seventh or eighth grade to the time where you're in the working world where you're officially adult can be 6 years, you know, 7 years, something like that. So it's weird when you're talking to somebody who's working and they go, hey, man, I've been listening to you since the seventh grade. And you think, oh, my God, that it feels like it's been 40 years. It could have been 6 or 7 years oftentimes.
With me, I get I've been listening to you since the seventh grade or watching you since the seventh grade, and they're 50.
Yeah, well, I'll be on that soon. But
we'll
be
back.
Loveline had 12 and 13-year-olds, and now they're 25 years old. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Back with Huell-Hauser next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome to paradise. This is The Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser.
Oh, my gosh. Look at all of these marbles.
And it's time to check out the game film from another episode of Huell-Hauser's California's Gold.
This is going to be interesting.
Indeed it is on The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Huell's a fixture out here in the Southern California area. I've been watching him for over 20 years. It's one of these things where I focus on, I don't want to say bad, I don't want to just say bad is good, but I study almost everything, and I study bad more than I study good. And Huell, I've been watching this cat for a long time, just take his camera, bring it over to some place in the San Fernando Valley that manufactures Menudo, and then he talks to the guy until the guy kills himself on the air. So, let me get this. How long have you been manufacturing Menudo on this location?
85 years.
85 years. Menudo.
Give or take.
85. So, for 85 years, you've been manufacturing what?
Well, not me, my family.
What product?
Menudo.
Menudo! And you call this area the loading dock.
The loading dock.
What goes on here?
Oh, mostly loading.
Loading! Louie, are you getting this? That's his cameraman.
Yeah.
Louie, so you've been manufacturing menudo for 85 years.
Manufacturing and loading.
And this is called the loading what?
Docks.
Loading docks. Louis, are you getting... That's it. It's a half hour of him talking to the least dynamic people on the planet.
We're having a ball out here.
And I always think to myself, why is this show still on? And then I realize, no competition. This is why this show is on. And I'm interested. I am so fascinated with competition and what it brings out in people. People say they're trying hard. They're not. They're not trying hard until somebody's nipping at their heels.
Absolutely.
And then they're doing things they never even thought about trying. This is why this country kicks ass. This is why we move forward at rocket speed versus every other country that doesn't have this. This is why communists drive crappy cars. I don't know why. I like cars and I like competition. I always think about how it worked. Well, we had the big three out here, and they made super crappy cars that got super crappy mileage and had horrible build quality, and they broke down all the time and so on and so forth, and it was like it or lump it. But then the Japanese came around and they made a superior product.
They sure did.
Cheaper, better gas mileage, better construction. And what happened? We had to up our game or get out.
Right.
And all of a sudden, if you'll notice, American cars, pretty good now. Why? Competition.
Yeah.
Heuelhauser? No Honda. Or Datsun nipping at his heels, I'll tell you that right
all
now.
All this almost too exciting.
I can't imagine a Huel on a broadcast network having to do like a sweep special or something.
I would love to see that. All right, let's get it started. Huel went down to Calistoga. Where the hell did he go?
Cayucos.
I don't know what. I think it's Choctaw or boring. Cayucos, the boring one, it means. Huel is down at Cayucos, somewhere in Central California, somewhere between, I don't know, is it somewhere around San Luis Obispo, or halfway from Los Angeles to San Francisco. So let's hear the hard-hitting story that he filed.
Now, we had arranged to meet up with a member of the local historical society for a tour of the town. And what better place to meet than one of the most popular local restaurants, which not only had great food and friendly employees, but a ceiling filled with baseball hats.
What?
Wow. It's not often you get to see. Where else, perhaps other than a Foot Locker or a stadium or any place that sells baseball hats or sporting goods in general, would you get to see baseball hats piled high?
I can't imagine.
Maybe Charlie Sheen's house.
Any guy's dorm room.
Other than those 8 or 10 places I just mentioned off the top of my head. Huh?
I don't see it.
All right. Unless you come to my whole closet, I don't think you're going to see baseball hats.
Magnum P.I.
Not piled high. And I know I rail against the Huelhausers of the world and the Paul Abduls of the world for getting paid for not actually doing anything. I'm secretly so jealous.
Right.
I would love Huel's career. Imagine that. You know, we have to talk about ratings and Cume and time spent listening and all that. Every other day, some crappy ratings conversation. Not Huel.
Nope.
Hell no.
Yeah, I'm sure he's really enjoying his public broadcast salary.
All right. Well, maybe you're right. So Huel then makes his next move. He's going to read the town bulletin board.
This is kind of the town bulletin board. We start off with free kittens to a good home. Then we've got a special railroad meeting, child daycare, a giant yard sale, and down here, a bikini contest.
That'd be syndicate this guy on Spike.
Yeah.
Or G4.
Because this is endless. There are bulletin boards in every town and every city.
Wedge this in between the extreme combat shows. You know, you do the Octagon show, you do the UFC show, then you have Huel reading the bulletin board, and then it's back, you know, with a recap of the UFC show.
But him doing the recap.
Yeah.
Let me get this straight. You got kneed in the face 187 times.
You choked him out with an arm bar.
You all have earned your pay right now.
Life in the fast lane with Huell. You know, Huell sort of treats the camera like when the camera was invented. Remember 100 years ago when they invented the camera, it was enough just to film a ceiling fan. It was like people just stood and looked at moving images.
Yeah. Right?
They just set the camera up and somebody would stand in front of it and dance silently. And you just come by and your jaw would hang open. Like, oh my God, someone has captured movement and put it into that box.
But you have to understand that was enough then. That was absolutely enough then.
I think Huell is still kind of treating it with that mentality.
Not enough now, Huell.
He doesn't believe in editing. He's old school.
Huh? What was that word?
He will leave everything in.
Oh, my God.
Every Huell Houser episode is like that Alfred Hitchcock movie, Rope. There's just no cuts in it anywhere.
Yeah.
Here is downtown Cayucos.
Well, now, I can tell time is passing because if you look down the street here, there are four cars.
Where there wasn't before.
Yeah, there. And there are four people crossing the street, so the energy is building here in downtown Cayucos. Yeah.
Well, that's what happened with North Hollywood. There were four cars my whole childhood, and the next thing you know, there were six cars, and that was time to move out. It just became too crowded.
There were 10 cars, but of course most of them were on a lawn.
I couldn't breathe anymore.
Could you feel it building?
Yeah, and that's how you judge the passage of time, by the way, by how many parked cars
I feel compelled to share that ever since we've been doing these Huell Houser things here on the Adam Carolla Show, I've been inundated with MySpace messages from people who claim that they've seen Huell Houser and men who claim that they've been hit on by Huell Houser, allegedly. There's a lot of Huell Houser
stories. Now, who else has got some stories?
It may or may not be true.
Well, Huell gets around. He's a fixture.
Yes, he is.
He's a guy you're going to have trouble missing because he's probably 6'5", but he rocks the Waffle Stomper desert boots, which kick him up about 7'1".
Yeah.
He's an ex-Marine. He's very distinctive looking and sounding, and not spending a lot of time at home with the family.
Yeah.
Howdy, how you doing?
So he's out making the scene.
You know, ever seen, like, Grace Jones walk into a bar with the Viking makeup and the 8-foot boots and the scary Nubian princess kind of vibe?
Same person,
if you will.
Same exact human being. I don't even know why we have both of them.
Yeah, quite honestly, we don't need Grace Jones.
Huell is out making the rounds. Well, let's just say most guys, they get a family, they get a mortgage, and they don't really leave the house except for to go to work. Huell not saddled with that baggage. Let's hear our next one.
On the pier, and a beautiful old pier it is. I see what you're talking about now. These look like the original nails. Wow, and this great old tree. There's no fancy restaurant here. There are no amenities here. It's just a big old wooden pier sticking out into the ocean.
Sure, why would you want stuff on your pier?
Yeah.
This is essentially...
Why would I want to talk about a pier if it had stuff on it?
A plank that goes out into the ocean. It's literally just pier blocks to set down in the ocean with a piece of wood on top of it.
You could go to the Santa Monica Pier and say, look, a pier with restaurants and junkies in an amusement park.
forget the Mexicans fishing. Yeah, Huell and the original nails dating all the way back to 1979.
I didn't think he could top himself after Free Kittens.
Original nails on the pier. I'm saying... I know it sounds like I'm making fun of Huell, but if this was on TV, I would be watching it right now.
Oh, he's adorable. I love his accent. He's so sweet-sounding.
I wonder what he's pulling down a year. Now, we've invited him to come on the show many times.
Nice to talk to you.
We love Huell. This is an homage.
Yes. It's a tip of the cap is what it is to you, Mr. Houser. All right. Let's hear our second-to-last one.
This is the strangest thing I've ever seen. We found a one-legged gull. That is amazing.
Yeah, it is.
He doesn't have a leg up underneath there. He literally just has, look, one leg. Wow.
Wow, it's a one-legged seagull here.
He sounded winded there. It really took it out of him.
It's always funny when the people who live in the town are much more bored of the town than Huell is, and so becomes like they talk to Huell like I talk to my one-year-old. My girl will pick up things now, stuffed animals and little toys, and bring them over to me. She'll pick them up. She'll walk them over, and she'll hold them out. She'll present them, and she'll make this giggle, giggle, giggle. She doesn't really talk, but she makes this giggle, 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 giggle. And she hands it to me. And then I respond to her like the townies respond to Huel. Thank you. That's very kind of you. Thank you. Okay. Is this for me? Thank you. And then she'll hand me a rock or a potted plant or any.
Right. No longer has a pot.
Right. A TV remote, a phone, my own keys, anything that happens to be lying around, and she'll present it to me, and I'll do the. It's that. Thank you. You can hear. Let's play that one again. You can hear people speak in that condescending tone.
This is the strangest thing I've ever seen. We found a one-legged gull. That is amazing.
Yeah, it is.
He doesn't have a leg up.
Yeah, it is.
Underneath there.
Anytime they draw out that last syllable, look out. Thank you.
Yeah. It's an age thing. You're either really old or really young.
Right.
Yeah.
That's and Huel is really boring. So that
was the
must
third
be
option.
What it is. Yes. One-legged gull. Probably every third gull is probably missing a leg. For
and
all
I
know,
he was going for a joke and forgot it. It sounds like he was going to say that gull doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah.
And then he stops.
Yeah, he realized that would have broken not only the cardinal rule of PBS, which is being entertaining, but he has a personal streak of 22 years without putting a smile on anyone's face. He was not going to jeopardize that run.
Status, yeah.
That streak. That some people think it's an unbreakable record. He has been on TV for 400,000 hours without even making anyone raise an eyebrow.
Right. Is he and a Cal Ripken of Dull?
The guy I was going to say, the guy behind him for like 21,000 hours of Dull is on steroids. So, no, he'll never really make it into the Hall of Fame
right.
of Dull.
He's and not a natural Dull.
I think he gambled also from the
juicing.
Dugout phone on Dull.
Juicing, yeah. As a guy who's done tons of man-on-the-street stuff, it's almost impossible not to stumble upon a laugh, even an inadvertent laugh.
Absolutely.
Right.
Every fourth person you talk to. Now, I'm trying to be funny when I do mine, but it's hard not to. Because people have funny dental work, people have funny names, people are wearing funny T-shirts, they say something that's funny, somebody honks their horn and drives by and yells something that's funny. It's almost impossible not to do what we find what we call found humor when you go out on the street. But Huel has managed to elude that for over 20 years. All right, well, let's wrap it up with Huel. What do we have?
Okay, as we leave Cayucas, we want to wave from the junior lifeguards underneath the historic Cayucas Pier. Goodbye. We've had a great time in your little town.
Wait, he set up a shot. I don't understand. That takes preparation.
And all these places are so starved for attention because he talks to old-timers about their gravel collection. I mean, he talks to human beings that their own family won't talk to them about their collections. Huel comes by with the camera, and of course everyone's accommodating because they can't believe that somebody's decided to do something. Now,
is that a can of rocks?
Well, yeah, once
my kids won't talk to me about my rocks.
Once in a while, camera crew comes to town, but that's only because they want to blow it up for an action movie, not because they want to talk to an old timer. All right, we need to take a break. The great Huel Hauser, everyone. California's gold. He's on your local PBS station, or at least out here.
I wish he understood our love for him.
I know.
I think he has an inkling of the truth.
Do you think he's aware of you? I mean, you've been appreciating him now for a while.
I would say he's aware of me.
Inside the glory hole.
Because he won't come on the show.
Right.
Right.
If you're Huel Hauser, I'm guessing your publicist isn't fielding calls from The Tonight Show and Kimmel and Letterman all day long. It's not like anybody wants to talk to Huel about anything. So the idea that a syndicated radio show would like to sit down with him is probably big news in the world of Huel Hauser. Right. Yet he doesn't accept our offer, which would suggest that he's heard some of our offerings in the past. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Will Angie eat it? A new game that I predict is going to sweep the nation. Angie, producer Angie.
Drunk. I'm drunk.
eats, as she's actually prenatal. She only eats prenatal vitamins. That's all she eats. She doesn't eat things that grow. She doesn't eat things with nutrients. She just wants to eat Starburst all day. And when you ask her, do you... Now, we all know she ain't eating broccoflower. She ain't eating garbanzo beans. But I didn't know there were people who didn't care for the taste of cherries or strawberries. I didn't know it went that deep. I have one-year-old twins. I feed them cherries. I feed them strawberries. I feed them anything I'm eating. I just put it in their mouth, and they'll suck that thing right on down. Angie has a list of things she won't eat, and it can oftentimes be confusing because just when you think she's not going to like something, she'll give you the, oh, no, I like that.
Yeah, that one's good.
I love gorgonzola cheese. And you'd be like,
what?
But you don't eat English muffins.
No scone?
Yeah, you're the person that thinks flour tortillas are too exotic for your palate. How do you eat this? And she does. So there's curveballs. She likes apples. She hates pears. Now, to me, they're in the same family. They almost look the same. And if you like the one, well, surely you're going to like the other.
Yeah, one's an ostrich, one's an emu.
Oh, no. Yes, absolutely. So I don't know what she eats and what she doesn't eat. We're going to gamble on it. Yeah. We'll be back. We'll bring Angie in here, and we'll play our first round of Will Angie Eat It next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's The Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. Let's check in with Program Director Jack Silver for a look at this morning's show.
Wanted, one nubile, busty, tramp-stamped, non-litigious phone screener. Must be experienced, quote-unquote, if you know what I mean. Oh, hey, what up, peeps? Jackman just posted a want ad for the new phone screener position. We'll talk to more candidates today. Also, comedian Patton Oswalt. From Dateline NBC's To Catch a Predator, Chris Hansen. The former guitarist from Korn, Brian Welch, a.k.a. Head. There's got to be a joke in there somewhere. Out of hell with it. Back to masturbating.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Well, producer Angie. Beautiful, nubile producer Angie. Has the palate of a 9-year-old, and that's insulting to whatever 9-year-old I'm talking about.
Adam, isn't it in stark contrast to her seeming emotional and intellectual maturity? That's why it's weird.
Yes, it is.
She's not like a babyish person.
No, I've gotten her an oversized lollipop and told her to put her hair up in pigtails many times, and she refuses to participate. As a matter of fact, she's complained to the management.
Yes, I mean, she's in charge, you know, here of the show.
Yes, she's a very cool customer. She's not one of these people. She has none of the other things that go along, none of the other baggage that normally goes along with this. What this is...
You're an alcoholic.
There's a few reasons people don't eat things. There's the folks that have allergies. There's the people that think they have allergies but don't. That's most the people out there with peanuts and chocolate and all that kind of stuff. And then there's people that are just have too many rules in their life. You know what I mean? They're the people...
I've always suffered from that.
The people that... Too many rules?
Yeah.
He's Mr. Boundary.
Yeah, he's got the... as Danny's mentioned many times, he has the 5-second rule when something hits the ground on liquids.
I'm
as solids.
I'm one of the few people I know that has a 5-second rule on drinks.
And I would argue powders as well.
I have snorted off the back of a dog once.
Sure.
Oh, no.
My blow fell off onto my dog, and we all grabbed him so he couldn't move. Just
was it
snorted
that?
Him.
Please tell me it was that little hairless one.
No, it was years and years and years ago. It was a Great Dane, actually.
Hairless now. After the freebasing accident with Bonaducci.
But we had to use those things from Sharper Image that go up your nose and clean all that hair out. Those were like $300 when we were done.
The point is most folks that have this, it's not... In a vacuum. Most people that are really picky eaters will drive you nuts because they're really picky everythingers.
Right.
And they're not good workers, and they don't show up every other day because they have allergies or the whatever. It's sort of, it's a manifestation of hypochondria. They're so into them. They sniff everything. They want to know. Angie, this exists in a vacuum. This is a, most people, for instance, that are super picky eaters don't booze it up.
Yeah.
Angie's loaded now.
She tastes it like champagne.
Angie will drink lantern oil if she thinks she can catch a buzz. So the point is...
You can. I know.
She I know, because the ship ran out of booze once, and it was 2 days before they were getting back to port, and she had to do what she had to do. The point is Angie likes to party. Angie's a hard worker. Angie likes to booze it up. Angie's up for a good time. But Angie is the most picky eater I've ever met in my life. So we're going to go through this list of food. I believe we have an intro, yes?
Kool-Aid and candy, they both strike her fancy. Twinkies and corn dogs, they both make her happy. Fresh fruits and veggies don't go near her face, 'cause Angie is stuck in the yummy phase. Chicken fingers, Hostess cupcakes, a diet so damn bad. Angie is stuck in the yummy phase. All that she eats is crap.
It's time to play Will Angie Eat It?
She does eat nothing but crap, but then throws you bizarre curveballs,
oh, yeah,
such as somebody who eats like a 9-year-old, someone who just wants to eat Starburst rolled in Jimmy's all day long. Says to me when we're out in the kitchen, says, I only eat Cheerios. And Cheerios is not a particularly sweet cereal. There's 35 other cereals that are sweeter, more, you know, to the liking of a 9-year-old's palate, right, than Cheerios. Cheerios, that's her cereal.
Her palate is a riddle.
So, yes, if you said
a
she
conundrum
liked
of a palate.
If she liked Lucky Charms, you would be wrong, although there's not a 9-year-old on the planet that doesn't want Lucky Charms. All right, I got $20. You guys got money?
Let's play some games.
All right, let's gamble on this. Dawson, you go through it. We have 25 foods here. We're all going to gamble on it. Here we go.
Feta cheese. Will Angie eat it?
Feta cheese.
Wow.
T?
My head's going to explode. It has a funky texture, which you might not like, but the taste isn't that pungent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to... Oh, wow. This is more difficult than gay walking.
Feta stuff, yeah.
I'm going to say...
Cheese is tough because kids love cheese.
No.
On the other hand, feta cheese...
I'm waiting!
Funky texture. Go ahead, T.
I'm going to say she will not eat feta.
You say no. Danny?
You know, I want to say that she won't by all the descriptions that we have done, but I see her eating a Greek salad.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Mm. I see her eating a Greek salad.
Maybe you should have said it when you had a chance.
Oh. Is that an actual salad? I thought it was a gay thing.
No.
Somebody said Bordock Bill's eating a Greek salad. That's his business?
Well, that's
Would you not judge? Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
There's Greek and there's salad. Two separate animals.
I see. Yeah. So
I'm going to have to walk you around this.
You're going, Danny?
I'm going with yes. She's going to eat some feta.
Now, maybe she picks around the feta.
See, I'm thinking that.
But on the other hand, when someone is as picky as Angie, she wouldn't accept anything with the ghost of feta cheese on it.
You're right.
So I'm going with Danny. Sorry, inside information. I'm going to go with does eat the feta cheese. Angie?
I will eat it.
You eat it.
You eat the feta cheese.
All right. The Dooch Man and the Ace Man both have one. T, I feel you got jobbed a little bit there. Because I was going to go no, too, until I found out that information. I'll go first this time. We'll try to make it fair. The food, yes, Dawson.
An artichoke. Angie eat it?
Artichoke. Well, it has nutrients in it. It comes from the soil. It is actually there's photosynthesis involved. I'm going to go no.
Danny?
I'm for all of those other reasons, and... It's icky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with it's icky and too much work for our Ange. She won't eat it.
I'm also going to go no.
We all go no. Angie,
Hold on. I could tie it up here. I'll go yes.
All right, but there's 143 on this list.
Okay, I'll stick with no. It is icky and I will not eat it.
Yes! All right, we should deduct half a point for waffling.
Yeah.
Two for two.
Half a point for me for the word icky.
For two for me and the Dooch Man. T is a one out of two. Let's move on to our next food group.
Rocky Road ice cream. Will Angie eat it?
I have a gut feeling. No.
You say no. Too many things going on.
The marshmallows are mushy and icky.
Mm-hmm.
And the nuts get soggy.
Mm-hmm. See, the thing about Angie is you have to factor in texture as well as taste.
Right.
Like, you think, well, she doesn't like avocado, fine, because it's mushy, but surely she'll like marshmallows, but wait a minute, they're mushy too. Hmm.
She eats banana.
Okay, so you say no to Rocky Road.
She will not eat it.
Dan?
I am going to say that she will not eat it, only because even if she eats all of those things separately, she will not eat them together.
Here's the thing about a picky eater. Combinations. They'll be like, I liked oatmeal, but I don't like raisins in the oatmeal, but I do like raisins.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow, what a stretch.
I know a lot of people.
I'm a daredevil because I like bran muffins and I like raisins, and if you put raisins in my bran muffins, I'm cool with it, but I'm a maniac. I'm insane. I'm the evil Knievel of consumption. All right, so yes, I agree with you guys. There's probably nuts in there she doesn't like. There's probably too much going on in there. I say no on Rocky Road ice cream.
I will not eat Rocky Road ice cream. Why is it so satisfying to predict what she'll eat?
Rocky Road ice cream.
I don't feel so smart.
Rocky Road ice cream.
Yeah. Is it because of the mushy nuts, the soggy marshmallow?
Or the
like them all separately, yes. Yep.
I want to ride the pony thing.
Right here.
All right, let's move on to our next food group.
Smirnoff Ice. Will Angie eat it?
Wait, it's got alcohol, right?
Mm, it's got booze in it.
You're an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Smirnoff I'm sweating. Ice. I'm sweating.
Seriously, you are an alcoholic.
What does that taste like? What is it?
What does it matter?
It tastes like a wine cooler, I would imagine.
Here's my question. On will she drink it or will she voluntarily drink it?
How's that work?
I knew my sister kept a bottle of rum schnapps, root beer schnapps at my house to make cute coffees with.
Classic. Right.
It was there for years, untouched.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I went downstairs and I had chugged the whole thing. And I went, dude, you're an alcoholic.
Yeah.
So, no, I would not drink Smirnoff Ice unless there was anything else in the house. But if there wasn't, I would chug Smirnoff Ice. So what is the case? Will she go and buy some because she likes it, or would she drink it because she's an alcoholic and there's nothing else in the house?
Well, we could say that about anything we've talked about. If she was on a desert island and only left with Rocky Road ice cream, we're not going to play that way. Either she does or she doesn't.
Like it.
Yeah.
Okay, I say... Yes, she'll drink it.
You say yes, T? Yeah.
No.
No, I say yes. T could climb right back into the catbird seat here. Two yeses and a no. Angie.
I will not drink Smirnoff Ice.
See, what's wrong with you?
An alcoholic.
Here's how I knew, because she drinks beer, and that's all she drinks.
All right.
Is that true?
Now we're all tied up. Let's keep it going.
A carrot. Will Angie eat a carrot?
Carrot.
I think in Vegas I started taking a nibble at carrot top. Does that count?
That was after the Smirnoff.
Danny, how say you?
I say no.
You say no.
I say no.
Mm-hmm.
No consideration, no nothing. She's not eating a carrot.
It cooked or raw? Does it matter?
No.
I feel like it's a big difference.
That means
one's
too.
Mushy.
We're going raw.
Raw. Okay. I think she'll eat a carrot.
Do you think she'll eat it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ange throws a curveball at you because carrots are good for you. They're crispy, though, and it's all about texture for her. They're kind of sweet. Seems so obvious because they're good for you, but I'm going to play a hunch and say, yes, she will eat the carrot as well. Two yeses, one no. Angie, will you eat it?
I love carrots.
See that?
Wow.
We're back.
She threw me.
All right, Mike, what's the score?
Adam, you have 4. Danny has 3, and Teresa has 4.
All right, 4, 4, and 3. Let's.
I was winning.
So, I know.
Let's. I'll tell you what. Let's do. Let's do 3 more items. Okay. We'll get through those and see who wins. Here we go.
A Dodger dog. Will Angie eat it?
Wow.
Wow. Because this is something I might not eat. But for very different reasons.
It's too hard.
Dan, you
got
it.
Come on, you open the door, Corolla.
Dodger dogs, beer, she goes to the ballpark, maybe she gets a little buzz going.
Okay, time has passed.
I'm going to say yes, she eats Dodger dogs.
I agree, because I also set the scene in my mind. I think it goes with the experience, and therefore she would eat it.
I say she doesn't give a rat's ass about the experience. They're nummy, she'll eat it.
All right, so we have all 3 say yes, she will eat a Dodger dog.
I will not eat a Dodger dog.
Damn it.
Oh, my God.
Now, is there a reason You will eat no hot dogs?
No, I hate hot dogs.
Before their
okay.
time?
Really?
Okay.
Oh, hot dogs.
Drunk!
So that's the thing about Angie. You you try to use the 9-year-old with the learning disability as a sort of template, as
right,
a guide,
right.
as you're eating Sherpa. This person is going to guide you up Angie Mountain, except for there's not a 9-year-old alive that wouldn't eat a hot dog, and Angie won't eat a hot
right.
dog. So
they even come in Lunchables.
She'll pardon the pun, she'll throw that Dodger dog curve at you every once in a while.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, Angie's training for a triathlon. She's super fit. That's another weird thing.
What?
It's not like she's, you know, vitamin deficient.
I know. It'll catch up to her. All right, two more. Let's see what we got.
Lobster. Will Angie eat it?
Wow.
You want me to start?
You start.
Not a chance in the world. It's a giant bug.
T?
I'm going to say she won't eat it.
Won't eat it. I say won't as well. And if you do, if I'm your husband, I kill you. It's like you will not eat a $2 Dodger dog. The only thing you'll eat is something that's $80 a pound. Fantastic. All right. We all say no on lobster.
I love lobster.
Oh! God!
Jesus.
Man, we're just being schooled by Angie's palate.
Confounding.
Loves lobster.
Really? And do you pick it out of the shell? Sure. Wow.
Okay. We
do you
have
eat the
to,
green grains?
No.
I love that part.
Let's do one more, see what we get here.
Hummus. Will Angie eat it?
Yes.
Dan?
Yeah, no.
No. I say no as well. This is our last question, so we'll go into a tiebreaker after this. We have a yes. If it's yes, Teresa Strasser wins the morning. If it's no, there'll be a tiebreaker between me and Bonaducci. Hummus, Angie, do you eat it?
I eat hummus.
Damn you! Get out of here. You make me sick. I don't want to look at you.
I love you even more. I felt hummus right away. I just knew.
Almost 20.
Nobody wants to know about your gut hummus feeling. Your hummus strategy. Well, you know, I come from a long line of people who wagered on hummus. Some say it's in the blood. Some say hummus makes a woman. Other people say the women make the hummus. Either way, I'm a hummusite.
Adam, I wish I could explain how I do it, but
yeah,
I can't.
I know. It's
as
a
long
gift.
As they hummus, I'm cool.
Did you win yesterday?
No, Danny won.
Nah.
That was close.
Everyone wins but me. You know, I was on a roll. I was like 4 for 4, and then I just hit a wall. I hit the toilet.
Does everybody else
eat the Dodger dog? Eats lobster and hummus. See,
Does everybody else in this room look like life like I do? That's just Corolla. Just can't catch a break.
I just can't catch a break. Damn it. I've been thinking about that when I drive my Maserati to Malibu today. All right. Well, that's the game. Will Angie eat a tea?
Well, here is a guy who has caught a break.
Mm-hmm.
I did a really, really big hit.
But not before having a very bad drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hear from a certain Baldwin.
Mm.
Who came out last night and talked on Primetime Live. Very interesting.
I thought it was
Coffees for Closers only.
Well, that,
you thought it was you.
I totally thought it was me.
I thought it was Trump. Play that again. It sounds very, very Trump-esque.
I did a really, really big hit.
It does sound like Danny.
It does. It sounds like me on every
Smoking
extra
sucks
from 1994.
I don't know. I think maybe Baldwin and
I did a really, really big hit.
I did a really, really big hit.
Yep, it is you. We'll take a quick break, be back with the news.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Skip the blue jeans and slacks. Women this season are all dressed up. Clothing manufacturers say dresses are this summer's must-have item.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
T.
Yes?
What's in your news, baby doll?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
The results of the toxicology report on the body of WWE star Chris Benoit were released yesterday. Investigators found three substances in his system: testosterone, Xanax, and hydrocodone, which is a generic version of the painkiller Vicodin.
No pixie dust, as I'd originally suspected.
That was what you predicted?
Yes.
None of that. Testosterone is considered a steroid, which is why all the news articles you're seeing say that Benoit had steroids in his system. It was the only steroid that investigators found. His testosterone level was high enough that investigators think he had probably been injecting himself just before he died. Here is Dr. Chris Sperry describing that just because he had testosterone in his system, that doesn't mean we should conclude that he murdered his wife and child due to a roid rage.
There is conflicting scientific data as to whether or not testosterone creates mental disorders or leads to outbursts of rage. There's data that suggests it, other data that refute it.
Dr. Bonnage completely agrees.
Yeah,
I'd kill my wife right now.
Right.
For $5.
And then take a drug test?
Yeah.
And you're natural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In fact, when I read this story, I remembered you saying when this Benoit thing
went
down.
But to prove my point,
yeah,
I will happily go back on roids and not kill my wife and just get all ripped up again.
You say not only is there no rage, but it mellowed you out.
It didn't mellow me out. It made me think because I was open about it and I let people know I was doing it. I wasn't a major league ball player and I was, you know, I was getting them legally. And I made no point about it, but I did make a point to, because I jump fast. You know,
you overcompensated.
You're one of those guys that bump into me and don't say sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I go, hey, man, how about an apology right effing now? And I get real serious about that kind of stuff because I'm short.
Angie learned that the hard way when she was coming into the studio and crossed with Danny in the front door. Hey,
so,
she deserved it.
Literally, somebody bumps into me now or looks at me or does something, whatever it is. And I go, hey, and then I think, wait. Is this the roids? Is this that rage thing I've been hearing so much about? Am I that much time has passed?
Roid awareness is what it became, not rage.
Yeah.
For Bonaducci.
That's stupid. I was going to punch that guy for knocking me, for hitting me by accident. So it actually calmed me down.
I feel like when your wrestler husband is choking you out and you're yelling, this is the roids talking, you get about the same response you get when you tell your wife, look, you're just irritable and irrational because it's that time of the month.
Right.
The choking gets a little harder.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of his wife, she had a Xanax and Vicodin in her system as well. And perhaps most disturbingly, their 7-year-old son, Daniel, also seemed to have some Xanax in his system. And authorities believe it was used to sedate him before he was killed.
Yeah. Everyone is, you know, sort of doubly shocked by that. For me, it lessens the whole thing a little bit. Like, give me the Xanax, then give me the pillow.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd rather not have the pillow. But if you are going to give me the pillow, give me the Xanax first.
Sure.
She humane.
Yeah. Let me ask. I mean, I've had Xanax and Vicodin, but not together.
Yeah.
Danny, is that, I mean, in clinically safe doses, what kind of experience would this be?
Well, A, I wouldn't know in clinically safe doses, but I would tell you that a what's called a bar of Xanax, which is four doses because they have a groove in them so you can break them off.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I used to take 4 bars at a time, which is actually 16 doses of Xanax with 6 Vicodin at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And get a pretty good buzz, kick back, but if I added even the smallest amount of alcohol to that, then I would just have a blackout and I'd wake up and people would be crying and furniture would be busted.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Obviously, we're not suggesting it's a good idea to mix Xanax.
No, but we're not saying it's a bad idea.
No.
We're just not judging.
Then you get a mortar and pestle and you become a little bit of an alchemist.
Yeah, you can't judge.
Exactly. Now, Michael Vick was indicted yesterday on conspiracy charges related to his alleged illegal dogfighting operations. Authorities say the football player ran pit bull fights from the so-called Bad News Kennels, which he established on his property in Virginia back in 2001. The indictment says Vic and his associates began purchasing puppies late that year and training them to fight with purses for individual fights as high as $26,000.
Yeah.
Authorities who raided his property earlier this month, oh, this is so disturbing. They found the graves of 7 dogs who
can't judge.
These dogs, buried dogs, either lost fights or didn't perform well in test fights. The dogs were killed in various ways, including hanging, drowning, gunshot, electrocution, and
choked out by a wrestler.
slammed into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And
Cannot judge.
There were other gruesome things found on the property.
Vic is one of the few black guys when he's talking about his dogs is literally talking about dogs.
Yeah.
Right.
Most guys saying that guy's my dog. When Randy Jackson's talking about his dogs,
yeah,
he's not talking about dogs. Vic is actually D-O-G-S, dogs.
When Randy says, I'm hanging with my dogs, he doesn't mean I'm actually hanging the dogs and
right.
burying them in
Vic
the backyard.
Means he's hanging his dogs. Cannot judge is one thing I want to say. This is one of those things where I'm just going to go ahead and label you a bad person.
Yeah, me too. Right.
I don't need to hear a whole lot more about what you do for your family or how you like to work with at-risk kids from the inner city. This makes you a horrible human being.
Have you heard of a rape stand?
Rape stand?
A rape stand.
Is that your lemonade stand?
That was the name of my band in high school.
Rape stand.
We were edgy.
Edgy?
We're Christian rock.
The rape stand. Here's
Christian Calypso.
A rape stand was one of the gruesome things found on Michael Vick's property, and here's what it's used for.
Stand.
It's used to hold a dog in place.
I know what it... I mean, what?
I don't.
What is this rape stand?
I had no idea what a rape stand was.
You want Vicodin and Xanax mixed together, you're coming to the right guy. I have no idea what a rape stand
when you want
is.
A dog
I whittled one in Weebelo camp.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they hold the dog...
lanyards or rape stands?
Right.
I went with rape stand.
They hold the dog in place for mating, and they also had dog treadmills. I guess to work out the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I say
we combine the treadmill with the rape stand. Rape mill.
Come on, multitask.
Come on, people.
I don't want
Let's
you to get out of
here.
Shape while
That's
you're...
That's right. Everyone, mount up. We're getting on the rape mill.
This is not funny. Now, earlier in...
Bowflex presents... You know, I'm a busy man. I only have a certain amount of time for raping and staying in shape every day. That's why I've invented the rape mill. 22 minutes a day. That's all it takes. You get your raping in. You get your cardio in.
You can have abs like this and a prisoner.
That's right.
Can I pay for it in 3 easy installments?
That's right.
Well, they're not easy, but they're installments.
That's right.
Daniel Baldwin is back in the news.
Well, anyway, listen. If 1/10 of what they've been discovering about Vic is true, throw the book at him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I have no compassion for him at all. I'm not even an animal lover. I don't even give a rat's ass about animals. All I know is he is a bad guy. When somebody wants to see some other creature killed for reasons of pleasure, they're just bad. Look, if Ted Nugent wants to pull out his crossbow, shoot a deer, and then make jerky out of it, that's his business.
Yeah.
And I eat hamburgers. I'm not trying to be a hypocrite. They do this, and then they bury the dogs on the property. They gamble on it.
Yeah.
And... if you want to do this with chickens, that's your business, because we consume 10 billion chickens a year in this country. But dogs, this is a sick, sadistic guy who, by the way, is a college grad, or at least has college years. He probably left early, but allegedly has at least 2 or 3 years of college under his belt. I mean, the guy's more animal than the dogs he's having.
By far.
He's having fight. This is a horrible indicator. And as somebody said to me yesterday, a friend of mine knows quite a bit about sports, imagine Michael Vick if he's not in the NFL.
Yeah.
Imagine what this cat is up to if he's not in the NFL.
Because the CPO dog fights, and if the dog's loose, he personally drowns them and or hangs them. And how much do you think he makes in the NFL?
Oh, he's got to be good for 10.
Just signed a $130 million contract.
Okay, these are purses up to $26,000. That was the outside money. He does this because he's an animal.
Is it $26,000 was the amount?
Yeah.
I mean, of course, this is chump change. I mean, they got $100 million. Contract, for Christ's sake. So he's the dumbest guy on the planet, because anyone who would jeopardize your $100 million contract to amuse yourself with your dogs, and when I say dogs, I mean dogs. And also...
because I gave away half my property over some dogs.
He was also trying to get his some weed through the airport.
And don't forget about Ron Mexico, his alter ego, who had the herpes.
He's clearly an idiot. And I hope he's punished. And I'm not one of these guys that wants people thrown out of the league. Look, if you're Ricky Williams and you want to smoke weed all off season, that's your GD business. I don't care. It's not a performance enhancing drug. It's what you want to do. But for this, I say they toss him out.
Yep.
All Daniel right. Baldwin.
Toss him out.
He was on Prime Time last night talking about a rock bottom moment.
Mm-hmm. I did a really, really big hit, as they call it. And my arm started getting tingly. And I thought, what is that? And so I'm feeling my arm, and then it started to hurt. And then my chest started to hurt a little bit. And I remember lying down and putting my head up and going, God almighty, imagine I'm going to go in a hotel room doing this stuff again. That'll be my legacy. And God, as my witness, I just waited an extra 20 minutes and started it again. It was almost like I was testing how far I could go.
God, he sounds exactly like Alec Baldwin. The Baldwins all sound exactly the same.
They do.
Because they're all blowhards.
Coffee's for closers.
Well, here Daniel Baldwin gets very emotional about how his drug use affected his family.
Yeah.
Sometimes and I pray and I hit my knees and I say, please forgive me for what I've done. Give me another chance. And it's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. It really is. I struggle with it a lot. Excuse me.
It takes brass balls to sell real estate.
Yeah.
My God. Please.
What?
Just, there's so much crap going on in that statement and all that blowhard stuff. I took it out of it. I thought, I'm going to die and that's going to be my legacy. I'm dead here in a hotel. How many times, all you drug addicts say that, Baldwin, you're not so special. Shut up. Yeah. I remember many a time sitting in jail saying, I swear to God, I'll never do this again. Making bail and hitting the dealer's house.
So you related?
No, he's a punk-ass bitch.
Well, Daniel, I'm trying to think where he gets his drug money. I know he works, but...
He did Sopranos, but that couldn't have paid very much. A couple episodes.
I don't think that pays much. I think that's more vanity stuff.
So.
It's like they're doing you a favor by putting you on the show. I'd be curious what they paid the folks that weren't regulars on that show. But
nobody pays enough for a crack habit.
Anyway, he's sober now. God bless him.
God bless him. Well, that's all the news about steroids, dogfighting, and cocaine. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser.
What about this condoms in India story?
I didn't want to be late, but you want to hear it?
Screw it.
Literally.
What is it?
Oh, well, it's kind of interesting. You know, India has a very... very terrible problem with HIV. In fact, that country has the most people living with HIV of any country in the world, with at least 5 million. So the government...
They need a new publicist.
Right.
Yeah. All we ever hear about is Africa.
Well, they tried to institute, you know, more condom usage among prostitutes to try and, you know, mitigate the AIDS problem.
What's his name? Richard Gere. Remember that?
Right. Yeah.
He was over there chanting, no condom, no sex,
yeah.
No condom, no sex.
That's right. Exactly right. And he got in trouble with the Indian people because he kissed the actress and they thought that was too forward.
Sure. Anyway,
there's a major condom company in India and they decided to come up with a flavored condom so that prostitutes.
But curry. Please.
No. But even more bizarre.
Will Angie eat it?
Yes.
Prostitutes and other high-risk sex, you know, workers would want to use this condom. So they tried to figure out what flavor would people like.
Mm-hmm.
They tried chocolate. Tried banana.
Mm-hmm.
They tried strawberry.
Mm-hmm.
The winning flavor. Not curry, but that's a very good guess. It's a thing called pawn. You know what pawn is?
No.
It's a mixture of tobacco and betel nuts, which tastes like bitter tree leaves, and a lot of sex workers chew this because it's, you know, what's it called? It, you know, wakes you up. It's a stimulant.
Yeah. It's like the cocoa leaf or something.
Right.
I don't want my honker to taste like something someone chews on all day because these chicks are high as a kite. Out of it, and on the 23rd honker of the morning,
right.
Yeah.
They
something
may just close their eyes and bite into something.
Yeah.
I would like my my condom, shoe leather. That's what it tastes like. I don't want anybody chewing on what I got down there. I don't want it tasting like a kielbasa or a banana.
No.
I don't want anyone's whatever just to kick in and have them bite down on it.
Mine tastes like chainmail.
That's right.
It'll just crush your teeth.
I hadn't thought of that. A bubblicious flavor condom could confuse you.
You will get
well,
oh, wait a minute. We can't say...
Going south?
We can say going south, yeah. I said you.
Yeah, I got around.
Did you used to be able to say going?
I don't think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on with this crappy
recently.
Country of ours? Yeah, I said you'll get tetanus from going
south
toward your feet on Bonaducci. What the hell is going on with this horrible country?
I know, and you can't even make fun of your sidekick. The life just means crap.
All right, yeah.
Pond-flavored condoms, very popular in India.
Good times.
By the way, the normal thing over in India is $1 with a condom, $2 without.
Is that right?
That's what the problem is.
I wonder why they have an AIDS problem.
Yeah, can't judge. Cannot judge.
No, but you can carry some change.
That's right.
That's very disturbing.
Those chicks are like parking meters, man. How cool is that?
Oh,
I mean,
really?
That's horrible now that I think about it. Sad.
Danny.
Well, come on. $1 or $2?
Yeah.
Why would you ever leave
Is it really? Me? Is it really yeah. that
That's
little?
The last report I saw was $1 with a condom, $2 without.
All right.
It was last night. It was an ABC special of 2020 or something like that.
Honey, pack your bags. We're changing our vacation plans this summer.
Going to Pondland.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, Brian Welch. Who's Brian Welch? He's, well, you know the band Korn, of course. He is Head, the lead guitarist for Korn, although he's dropped out of the band. He's found Jesus Christ. Now, I have a very interesting relationship with the band Korn. I've done many events with Korn over the years, and have many corn-based stories. So I'm going to talk to him specifically about being up in Sacramento and Jim Rose from the Jim Rose Sideshow going up there in a lawsuit when he did something in front of a bunch of underage fans. But we'll talk about everything. Korn, next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. And now please welcome the former guitarist from the band Korn, the man known as Head, Brian Welch, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Brian has left the band, Korn. He's found Jesus Christ. We'll get to that in a second. Got a book coming out called Save Me From Myself. Got a book signing coming up tonight, 7 o'clock at Book Soup on Sunset. But let's go back to the beginning, and then we'll work our way up to present time. Korn, everyone from Korn is from Bakersfield, yes?
Yep, born and raised. Well, not really born, but raised.
And everyone knew each other from the early days, since high school? Or how did the whole Korn thing get started?
Well, I guess I went to grammar school with Jonathan, but I remember meeting him in junior high, and I met Fieldy and Monkey when I was a freshman.
Mm-hmm. And I first got on to Korn when I went to, let me try to figure this out. We used to have on Loveline, we had an affiliate out in Minnesota. It was a big radio station in Minnesota, and they did one of these big concerts that radio stations do. And theirs was in, I don't know, some neighboring county on a cow pasture. Remember this?
Yeah,
Korn,
Korn
was just getting started, really. I mean, it was kind of the early days of Korn. So I was out there doing stage announcements and dodging mini Jägermeister bottles
sure.
that would be thrown from 200 yards back. And they had Everclear and Iggy Pop and a lot of big bands. I mean, I don't even remember all the lineup, but it was huge. But every time I went out on stage, everyone started shouting and chanting, Korn. Korn, 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 and I knew Korn wasn't coming on for another 9 bands.
Oh, man.
So I would be up there, and I'd be like, and I started chanting back, Korn, and then there was 30,000 people chanting Korn, and then I'd say, oh, now welcome to stage Cracker, or Blink 182, or whoever else was playing. Now, they must have been pissed. Not only was the crowd pissed, but whatever band took the stage after 30,000 people were chanting Korn and other bands were pissed. But eventually Korn came on, and that's when I realized there was something going on. And this is before Korn got any real airplay either. So how did the band get so popular with the kids minus the, you know, broad airplay or mainstream airplay?
It was probably helping that the radio wouldn't play it because, you know, that's when kids stand up for underground stuff, but I don't know, it was heavy, and Jonathan's lyrics were like, you know, about the bullies picking on him, and a lot of depressed kids clung on to that, I think.
It was weird because it was sort of pre-internet in the sense that now everything is just viral, and, well, you don't have to play something on TV or on the radio. The kids will get it via YouTube. But this is pre all that. And here's a bunch of people in Minnesota, and this is 12 years ago, and they're all hip to corn. And they're huge into corn. So I started doing stuff with corn, doing interviews and traveling around. Do you remember when we went to Sacramento?
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, let me ask you something on a personal level. Have you noticed as a recovering drug addict that a lot of people start their sentences the way Adam does? I don't think he means anything by it, but I know this from people talking to me. They start almost every sentence with anything that happened 10 minutes ago with, do you remember? It's like a test. That's recovering drug addicts have. Hey, do you remember coming in here a couple seconds ago?
Do you remember when I said 8 seconds ago?
I get that all the time. And the other thing, and Adam is running this interview and working his way forward, I just have one question about, before you found Jesus, did you look exactly like him, or is this a new thing?
I grew the beard out, dude. When I was getting off drugs, I was tired, and I didn't shave, and the beard came in. I was like, hey, that looks cool.
Yeah.
And I haven't shaved it since.
And by the way, for a guy named Head, or whose nickname is Head, because you're tremendous Head, your head has shrunk. You must have lost weight.
Really?
I think you have lost some weight.
Yeah, I was a little heavier when I seen you.
Well, cranial head reduction.
Who goes off drugs? Usually when you go off drugs, you gain weight.
Well, what happened was like I quit doing everything to my body that was bad. You know, I started eating healthy, and you shrink when you eat healthy. So
now, as far as corn goes, well, quickly, we were in Sacramento, me and corn.
Can you tell us what you were on at the time, if anything, just to set the scene?
In Sacramento?
Yeah, do you remember?
I think it was just beer then.
Probably just beer.
Maybe some Coke.
They were just getting started in their career, but they were, I mean, the thing about corn, too, is they blew up fast.
Yeah.
I mean, really fast, maybe too fast, as it turns out.
Could be.
We were there, I was there with corn, and Jim Rose of the Jim Rose Sideshow, the freakish sideshow, was there. I remember me and Jim Rose having a little discussion about his wife. I said, must be tough, you being on the road 300 days out of the year away from the family and the
hang
wife. And she said, no, Jim said, my wife goes out on the road with me. I said, oh, that's nice, a little family affair. No, she's in the show, too. I said, oh, fantastic, what'd she do? Shoots fire out of her vagina. I said, oh, mazel tov to you, Jim. Awesome. That's awesome stuff.
Does she do that on Yom Kippur or take the day off?
Jim got up on stage, I think did a little puppetry of the scrotum sack, and there ended up a lawsuit because there were a bunch of 12-year-olds to see corn there, didn't want to see a 50-year-old guy scrotum sack. And
it was pretty nuts, man.
Nuts,
so to speak.
Literally.
Yeah. I think Lindsay Lohan can actually shoot fire from down there.
Yeah. So after the lawsuit, we were like, what are we doing, man? Get this guy out of here.
I got calls from, like, the Sacramento sheriff wanting to know if I knew where Jim Rose's scrotum was and what he did and all that stuff. Yeah, there was a lawsuit because a guy traumatized a bunch of 12-year-olds.
For those who don't know what that is, including me 10 minutes ago, there was an actual freak show that would tour around.
Jim Rose traveling sides.
I never heard of it.
Yeah.
It was pretty
good times.
I'd watch that.
So corn blows up now, and the band is making money hand over fist. There's women, there's drugs, there's success. And what happens with you, Brian?
Well, you know what all of us tried to do is, like, have a normal life. Mm-hmm. Right when we blow up, hey, let's marry the girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so bad move. Girls are throwing themselves at us. So we all try to start a family and be normal. You know, wait here for us. You know, take care of the kids. And we'll go be rock stars. We'll bring in the checks. You'll have the house. You'll have the cars, everything. And we thought we could live happily ever after. And it just didn't work. You know, my wife, I got married to this girl, Rebecca, and we just were doing drugs a lot and abusing each other just physically. And I don't know. It got out of hand, man.
Did you have a lot of money and a lot of downtime? I mean, when you weren't touring or recording, or were you just constantly gone?
We were pretty much like 8 to 10 months out of the year gone.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were home, it was like, you're so used to going. When you sit at home, you're like, okay, now what?
How does the money break down? Some bands will just split it five ways. Some will, Jonathan wrote the song, so he gets the lion's share of the money. Did they spread the money around the band?
Actually, we had a big meeting when we signed the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they're telling us, like, the singers get more of the money usually.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat there. I think it was Fieldy that said, look, Jonathan, you got to split it all with us, or we're not going to be a band. And so we put it just down on the table like that.
So,
and Jonathan agreed.
So are you set for life?
I'm
financially?
Good.
Financially?
Yeah, I'm good.
You're good. And Korn continues on, but they're going to continue on without you.
Yeah, they're doing fine without me.
And why did you choose to leave the band?
Yeah, well, Jesus does not want you unemployed, dude.
Yeah.
I know, but I had my... he wants me to make money. But I had my daughter. I had to be home with my daughter. My wife bailed out on us, and it just wasn't my calling there. I did everything I could have done, and I just wasn't happy there anymore. It was a number of things, you know?
Well, we...
By just the title of the book, it was a number of things. Ready? Save Me From Myself, How I Found God, Quit Korn, Kicked Drugs, and Lived to Tell My Story. That's a boatload of trouble right there, all that stuff, except for the living to tell your story. All of those things are expensive and a hassle.
Totally.
What is in the book, Save Me For Myself, and again, you're going to be signing them tonight over at Book Soup on Sunset. We're talking to Brian Welch. He's the AKA head, the lead guitarist for Korn all these years. What is one of the crazier things in the book? What is one of the crazier stories from the road or with the band or what have you?
I'd have to say Woodstock. When we went to Woodstock, we hired this, we rented this plane, and we went and with Ice Cube and all those guys, and we mm-hmm. partied. Did
what year are we talking about?
99.
We're talking about the Woodstock where everybody set fire to crap.
Not
the peace and love Woodstock.
Right.
Yeah, but we all got a jet, and we're talking about the rained out
Woodstock, the one with all the mud and Green Day clots and everything.
Yeah.
So you guys are going to upstate New York, getting a jet with Ice Cube, do you say?
Yeah.
And what happens?
We just partied. You know, the Korn crew was like snorting Tylenol PM, Coke in the back, and drinking. We went and did the show. It was an amazing show. The crowd went off. Best thing, highlight of the career, you know. It was just awesome. And then afterwards, me and my wife and everybody else decided to do ecstasy and coke and party for like two nights. And then we fly home. I get home, and we're still like hungover from the whole weekend. And me and my wife start fighting, and I just end up punching her in the face. And blood's pouring down her face and neck, and she passes out on the floor. And I'm like, I'm just sitting there going, why can't I make this woman happy, you know? Why is life like this, you know? We have everything we got.
Well, you're high as a kite. I mean, that's drugs, right? Yeah.
But at the time, I was like, why is this happening?
Danny, how many times you punched somebody and yelled, be happy, after you punched
them? I did not tell you.
Come on, get happy.
No, you know, it's actually while you're hitting them, usually. It's like, why won't you be happy? Boom!
Well, you mentioned earlier that your wife was also physically abusive to you.
Yeah, well, she grew up in that type of home, so yeah. It was weird. It was very...
Did she ever really hurt you?
She used to get in fights with dudes and win at bars all the time. So yeah, she had a big punch.
Dude, can I tell you seriously? I mean, not that I would ever honestly approve in any way, shape, or form, and thank God this never happened because I've had blackouts 100 times and luckily woke up and nobody except the guy I was fighting was bleeding. But brass balls of you to be that honest that you got wasted and hit a girl. I mean, I would never tell that. And people think I have balls of steel to tell the stuff I do. I would never cop to that.
Well, I had to tell how bad I sunk and why I needed to get saved for myself, you know. And so I decided to share that stuff that was kind of embarrassing, you know. And so
now, how's the status with the rest of the band? You guys stay in touch? Are they cool, or do they not want you going out and sharing this information with everyone?
They heard some stuff that I was just going to trash. I was trashing them in the book, but I sent them a copy, and they're cool with it. And it's all good, you know. It's just I'm not trying to trash them. I just want to tell my story, give a realistic look about Korn on the road and stuff like that. And
right,
just tell the story.
Well, they're not Republican politicians. They're Korn.
Yeah.
And if we didn't hear stories about them getting loaded in private jets, we'd be disappointed, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, good luck to you, Brian Welch, everybody.
Save me from myself.
Book signing tonight, 7 p.m. Book Soup on Sunset.
Yeah, it's right by La Cienega, or just come up the other street.
Interesting story. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, our search for the new phone screener will continue. We've had many, many applicants via adamcarolla.com. A lot of people want the gig. Not sure why, but we'll talk to you. 866-901-ADAM next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. After a year's worth of stellar performances as the Adam Carolla Show's phone screener, Kyle has decided to leave us. So the Carolla Show phone screener position is now available
and you got a shot at it. If you want the job and know how to operate a touchtone phone, give us a call at 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Kyle, moving on. Some pretty big hemp sandals to replace.
Yep. He's going on to work for Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Who screens these calls?
Moving up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, God bless him, but we need to fill those shoes. And we talked to a lot of people yesterday. We also were inundated with emails about people who wanted the gig. T, you have some of those in front of you?
You're absolutely right. We were inundated. This is amazing. First of all, this morning I come in and there's flowers and I'm thinking, wow, new boyfriend sent me some flowers.
I thought they're for me too.
Guess who they were for? Adam.
Mm.
With just this note. Born to screen calls. Also open to dusting and light cunnilingus.
Yeah.
No name.
But no name.
Now, here's some of the emails we've gotten.
I was really looking at that card and I was thinking, how am I going to give this person the gig if they don't put their name on the card? And then I thought, are they so stupid that they forgot to put their name on the card?
I think it's the beginning. They're laying the groundwork. Mm. Maybe we'll hear from them again.
Light cunnilingus is the groundwork. You're hired.
And by the way, light cunnilingus is not that good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, here's one of the emails. I don't know what happened.
Why? I just lost my wood.
Sorry.
Starting to get wood, and then
with
I heard
a little pressure.
The sea hag laughing it up in the background.
Okay, listen. Currently,
you were haunted down there. Ha! All right, go ahead.
Currently, I'm working for the county of Los Angeles doing AIDS research, and I'm very happy doing it, but I would love to work in the radio industry.
Sure.
How about maybe you keep
Let's pull you off that trivial task and have you talk to stoners all morning on this show when we're screening for what can Adam complain about.
First off, this is a different person. First off, I can type about 80 words a minute. An excellent typist, perhaps not that accurate.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. My only enjoyment is the Adam Carolla Show.
Who? How do they spell that?
C-A-R-O-O-L-A. Adam Carolla.
Fantastic typist.
Fast, but perhaps not accurate. Now, here's Steve. I'll tell Teresa she looks pretty every morning. I'll convince any hot girl to bone Danny. I won't annoy Adam.
Hired!
Wow. And
that was compelling.
That's from who?
Steve.
Steve, all right.
Graham Wellington.
Graham Wellington. The white guy looking for the apartment in the ad council? Hello, this is Lucius.
This is hilarious because he says that he's from Stratfield, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
The Wellington Estate is his address.
Sure.
And he says, why should we pick you as a new phone screener? Yale man, well-situated, held in high esteem by upper-crust of society, won't work with Jews, Negroes, Hispanics, or Italians.
All right.
Rules out everyone in the room.
We won't tell him we're any of those and hire Graham immediately.
How about this?
Hmm.
My name is Hillary Dixon Rust, and I'm a guy, not gay.
Mm-hmm.
I like that because he knows that's a bit on the show, not gay.
Hillary?
Dixon Rust.
Dixon Rust.
Yeah. And he also wants us to know he knows what veal and venison are.
Mm, well, speaking of that.
His name's not Dixon Rust?
Yeah, his uncle Rusty Cleet recommended him.
Dusty Rhodes called and wants the gig, too.
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
Jason?
Yes?
You would like to be our phone screener?
I was born for the job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get a lot. I'm on
so
MySpace right now.
Guy.
I got 50 people that were born for the job.
I think I got 3 dozen MySpace people.
And you're tired of doing what for a living?
I remodel pools, and it's like 150 degrees outside, and I'm sick of it.
Mm-hmm. You're calling from Palm Springs?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, really, we're in the middle of July, you're in Palm Springs. I'm not exaggerating when I say may get to 118 today.
Yeah.
And
are you straight?
Yes.
Oh, so are you kidding?
He's in Palm Springs.
He works a gunite rig remodeling pools.
But dig this. He's also in Palm Springs, so he's the pool boy at every homosexual's house in the Tri-County area. Yeah.
He's remodeling them, though. He's not wearing gauchos and dragging a net. He's in there with a chipping hammer, right?
Exactly.
Driving the homos crazy.
That's a man's man.
Exactly.
Wow, that job blows colossal ass. I mean, the only thing worse than working construction is working it in, like, Yuma or Phoenix or Palm Springs and working in the middle of the summer. Like, you show me a guy who's a roofer. I'd rather go to Iraq for a tour than roof or work some outside construction gig in Palm Springs or Arizona. So, Jason?
Yeah.
What's veal and what's venison?
Okay. Veal is baby cow and venison is deer.
is deer. All right.
Wow.
Do you like thick crust pizza or thin crust pizza?
I like hand tossed.
Hand tossed?
Yeah.
What?
We still talking about food here, bro?
I guess we're talking about thin crust, perhaps. Pie or cake?
Cake.
Okay. Sorry, buddy. I have no time for you.
You fickle bastard.
I don't like cakes.
Nice
fine.
To talk to
pie's
you.
Pie's better.
As I said yesterday, obviously it's your decision, but I wouldn't mind if we had some ethnic diversity here on the show and perhaps another female.
I agree. Marie is Hispanic female.
My name is Tyrone Washington.
We could hire Tyrone Washington or Sanjay Kumar from the Ad Council to come in here.
A hot Asian babe, a hot Hispanic babe, any ethnic diversity.
Whatever, it enhances
babe,
our show.
Let's see. Hot, fun, cute chick. That's Crystal. All right, let's talk to...
Hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Let's talk to Marie. Yes, the Wellingtons. Renters. That's how they made all of their money. Marie?
Hi, Adam.
What's happening, baby doll? Yeah.
Hi, thank you.
You're a little hot tamale, are you?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Veal or venison? What is the difference?
Veal is a calf.
Mm-hmm.
And venison is deer.
I love her already. She said calf.
Calf, yep.
Sweet. And pie or cake?
Pie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And iced tea, favorite flavor?
Raspberry.
Trick question, baby. No flavor.
No flavor.
Just iced tea. That's a flavor, all you idiots running restaurants out here in Southern California.
You are the American genius.
I love her. Ooh, what do you do currently for work?
I am a personal assistant.
Mm-hmm. And do you work for any celebrities?
Not celebrities, just well-off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How old are you? What do you look like?
I'm 35. I'm 5'2".
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
115 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I can type.
Now, at age 35, career-wise, this is not a great move. This is a good move for a 19-year-old who wants to learn about radio and wants to kiss up to the boss, but not for a 35-year-old. Why do you want to do this, Marie?
Career change. I used to be in law enforcement for many years and left that.
Probably no Bonaducci.
Mm-hmm. She's only 35, maybe not.
Mm-hmm. And you want to check out radio? Because, see, here's what I'm trying to avoid. The looky-loos. Feels to me... Hold on a second. I feel like there's going to be a lot of people that want this gig so they can come, look around, kick some tires, see how everything is laid out, and then 3 days into it, when they realize it's a crappy job, they'll just split.
Right. And that we're not fascinating at all.
That's right. Well... They could figure that out if they have a radio.
Right.
They don't need to come in to realize we're not fascinating. Marie?
Yes.
What were you going to say?
Well, what I was going to say is, as you did, I want to take a chance. And mm-hmm. As you did when you were riding around in your truck, listening to the radio, and Jimmy Kimmel needed someone to train him for the boxing.
I don't know that name, but I inspire you. Is that what you're saying?
You truly inspire me.
You've made the cut.
I like her.
We're pushing her head to the second round.
And I get the feeling she's bilingual.
Let's see. Marie?
Yes.
Bilingual?
Yes.
Okay, good, because I'm going to need a translator to communicate with my kids.
Right.
Because they only speak Spanish at this point.
I can open the show for you in Spanish.
Yeah.
How would that sound?
Buenos días. Estamos oyendo el programa de Adam Carolla.
I'm
in love.
That's where we're going as a city.
Right.
And also, if you could do that rap and every once in a while just work in Budweiser.
And goal.
It would always delight me. Yeah, I'm going to need you to come by and tell my kids they've got a timeout. And then I'm going to need them to study a little bit harder.
Also, maybe she could tell them Daddy loves them so they know.
That's cool. Let's just stick with not getting the pony.
Yeah.
How do you say you're not going to get a pony in Spanish? I want to remember that for my daughter in about 6 years.
No te voy a comprar un caballito.
All right. From your mouth to God's ears, Marina. Hang on.
She's excellent. She's fast on her feet. I like the sound of her.
5 foot 2, 115.
Cute. Mm-hmm. A spinner.
Spinner. Jinx. Owe me a Coke. Let's see.
I'm only 5'6". She'd be kicking me right in the face.
Yeah, not technically spinner. You're going to have to put your plats on.
One
for
man
that.
Spinner is
another man's ass whooper.
Let's talk to Phil, who says he knows everything about the show. Phil?
Yes.
You'd like to be the phone screener?
Up, Danny. What's up, Teresa?
Good.
Hey.
You know everything about the show, do you?
I listen every morning. I listen in my car. I listen at work. I tune the radio station at work. Mm-hmm. I listen in the shower. I have a shower radio.
Oh, you do?
Wow.
I like this. I love an ass kisser. You know, everyone goes, oh, that guy's just kissing your ass. And I go, yeah, I like him more.
They do.
Well, what happened to Ass Kiss Rodeo?
Hey!
Well, wait a second.
Wait a minute.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Woo-hoo! You want to play along, Phil?
I will do my best.
All right.
I've never actually heard this. Amy's told me all about this, but I've never heard it done.
All right, well, let me throw out a topic and you see if I don't buck you off.
All right.
Ah, boy, I wish Los Angeles had a football franchise. That would be awesome.
Los Angeles should have a football franchise. Ever since the Raiders left, you know, they still have all those Raiders fans who wish they were in Oakland watching the Raiders, but, you know, they're just not out here. And I'm not very good at this.
Yeah, no ass, Sherlock.
Well, that's okay. He doesn't need to be an improv comedian.
Thank
he just needs
Teresa,
to work the phones.
Thank you.
Yeah, because real Ass Kiss Rodeo champion would say, you know, Mr. Carolla, someone who was as good on the gridiron as you were in high school, surely could appreciate. As a matter of fact, if a team did come back, I would say you should play quarterback for that squad. See, that's real Ass Kiss.
Yeah, but we're selecting for a skill we don't need.
All right, he brought it up. That's all.
That's true.
All right,
Phil. Can you freestyle Ass Kiss?
Can I freestyle Ass Kiss? Well, I'd just like to say I'm sure North Hollywood High was very sad to lose you because you were an all-star quarterback. All-star.
Valley.
Oh, Phil's losing it. But he's nervous.
He's nervous. So that's adorable.
It is, but we got a schlong fest going on over here already, and Jack Silver swore he'd have me fired if I didn't get some new tail onto this floor.
I think he said cooch, to be fair.
All right.
Something about a train pulling out from the
cooch
station.
Cooch train.
We need to take a break, but Crystal from San Fernando is hot, fun, and she's cute. That's how she describes herself.
And named after meth.
Mmm.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the locale drink, but all right, yes. Crystal. Yeah, chick's name Crystal. Crystal, Tammy, and Cammy.
Oh, I thought it was candy.
Are your two? Yeah, although I don't know enough candies, but Crystal, Tammy, and Cammy are your top three party chick names.
Yep.
If there's a chick named Crystal, you're going to party with her, same with her sister. If you wanted to have a brood of prostitutes and you had three daughters, name them Crystal, Cammy, and Tammy, and they will do nothing but have sex and party. We need to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Crystal and get her official particulars next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser.
Thought you were supposed to be in the hot tub already.
Oh, I'm just getting dressed. I've got a surprise for you.
From Dateline NBC's To Catch a Predator.
I guess I'm probably not the surprise you expected, am I?
Chris Hansen is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, you want to talk about an embarrassment of riches. Patton Oswalt's out in the green room waiting to come in. We have all you wanting to do the phone screening on the show, and as if it couldn't have gotten any better, Chris Hansen, personal hero, Chris Hansen,
yep,
from To Catch a Predator on the phone. Chris?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Great to speak to you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I assume you don't want to be our new phone screener, but you want to talk about Dateline NBC tonight?
Exactly.
That is tonight, right? What are we on? Yes, Wednesday
tonight
night.
Tonight at 10 Eastern.
I tell you, I love To Catch a Predator so much that when a friend of mine said to me the other day, hey, I was watching To Catch a Predator, I went, whoa, whoa, whoa. They're back on? They're back on? I missed one. I've caught everyone. I have a streak with To Catch a Predator. And he said, no, and I think it was a rerun I was looking at.
Probably on MSNBC.
Right.
That's
I liked it so much, I'm actually trying to get a guest shot. And when you try and sell that to your agent, like, really, I want to be the Predator?
Well, let me tell you something. In this latest one, you know, we're in this, like, $3.5 million home on the Jersey Shore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our 11th investigation. There are a number of firsts, but one of the things that was most stunning was how many of these guys had seen the show. And we had one guy walk in, and he was chatting with the on-site decoy, and I walk out, and he looks at me and says, oh, you're Chris Hansen? And I said, well, how'd you know that? He goes, I have never missed a show. I'm a religious viewer.
Wow.
And before I can formulate the next question, he says, oh, and I heard you on a syndicated radio show. You were pretty good.
Oh, really?
Wow. Do you even get, you know, the trouble you're in here?
Well, it is kind of like those guys that get arrested and then wave at the camera while they're being pulled away in the squad car. Yeah, it's a certain kind of stupid, but I was going to ask, since the show has been on the air, obviously there's a heightened awareness of this. Obviously, the first couple seasons it ran, you didn't have anyone come through the door and recognize you. Now, when you come walking through that curtain, half the guys know what's up, right?
Oh, sure, sure. The other interesting thing about New Jersey is, you know, we always have, obviously, the decoys from Perverted Justice are in the chat rooms online. They've got a profile that has a picture that's unmistakably underage. And in the past, we've had, you know, decoys, 18 or 19-year-old guys and gals who look much younger in the house to talk to these guys. But never have we had one like we had in New Jersey, where this young woman was so talented at drawing these guys out. I mean, you know, we've seen the grooming process online, but in this investigation, you see these guys sit there and tell this young woman what they want to do to her, you know, live time, in person, and you see this grooming process take place, and it is absolutely stunning to see what these guys are capable of doing and how they do it. You know, they sit there and, well, we'll start slow, and then we'll do this, and, you know, they go on and on and on.
And when now, for me, it would be amongst the most uncomfortable things I could ever think to do, to walk out and confront this predator. Not because I'd be scared of a physical confrontation.
Right.
It would just be horribly emotionally uncomfortable. You take pride in it. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
There's a sense of justice with you. But do you feel the least bit uncomfortable when you do it?
Yeah, I do feel uncomfortable. It's not that I take pride in it. I think it's just that I've gotten, you know, more experienced at doing it and perhaps a little more confident, but, you know, you're still anxious, you're still nervous, it's still, you know, an uncomfortable moment for both people. You know, I try to, you know, be smart about it in terms of the questioning, you know, depending on the guy. You know, I try to work it so I elicit as much as I can out of the guy, figure out what's going on in his mind. You know, I'm not there just to go, you know, startle him and make him run away. I want to talk to him.
And like I said, in the past, when Chris would come walking out, you'd think, well, it's the dad or the uncle or the pool man or something.
Right.
Now you know immediately it's Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator. Tonight, obviously, we don't want to give too much away, but what's some of the more interesting stories we might see tonight on Dateline NBC?
Well, you know, you see a whole range of characters once again, and you know, guys from 60-year-old engineers at communications companies to bus drivers to guys that drove 6 hours to get to this house.
Mm-hmm.
But what's stunning here is that that discussion that takes place between this on-site decoy and the guy, and we have two different location setups. In other words, we have one in the house, and we have one on the beach.
Now, normally, they don't do a lot of talking inside the house. They do that, let yourself in, I'm going to get some Toll House cookies and sweet tea, and
exactly.
Then the chick takes off, the guy enters.
It sounds like there's a new decoy, and that's just very good.
That's exactly right.
Have you fallen in love with this decoy, Chris Hansen?
No.
She is 18.
I'll tell you, it's an interesting story. We rent these houses from people to do these investigations, and we had rented this house, and the producer asked the guy we rented it from, you know, do you know anybody in the area who's, you know, college age and in acting school or anything like that? He goes, yeah, my daughter. And this girl looks very, very young, much younger than she is. And so it was like a, you know, almost like a twofer for us. You know?
How old is the actress?
She is 18.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the daughter of the owner of the house where you're catching predators.
Exactly.
How hard up is this guy for cash?
Can I take my house and my daughter?
It was an opportunity for her to, you know, to
act.
To act.
You put that on your reel.
And she has a home court advantage.
Yeah. Now, obviously, we have a lot of security in the house, and we have planned it.
But she knows she's comfortable. She knows the lay of the land. You see, if I have the chick go, come on in for some sweet tea and Toll House cookies, and then I see her open a door and walk into a closet instead of walk down a hallway, I say, this ain't her house.
This is a setup, right?
Yeah, she knows it.
Exactly. And so, you know, when these guys would roll up and she'd say, oh, you know, it's a nice sunset, let's go out to the beach. And, you know, we had two chairs set up there. You know, these guys, you know, just went right at it, you know, and she would say, okay, well, you know, this is my first time. What, I don't know how this is supposed to go. And then he goes into detail about how he wants it to go.
Well, Chris, is there a through line with these guys? You were mentioning a moment ago that these guys are from the white collar world and the blue collar world. They're from all walks of life, yeah, sadly. Yeah. I mean, look, what we'd love to do is go, we know who the pedophiles are. They're like Al-Qaeda. We know it's not the fat white guy who's in his 60s. We know it's the young guy with the swarthy complexion. We know who they are. We don't want to talk about it, but at least we know. But the thing with the pedophiles is we don't know. I mean, that weirdo guy in the next cubicle who's the data systems analyst could be a pedophile.
Right. Serial killer, white guy, 25, 50 to 50.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Pedophile, anybody.
Yeah, well, it's, we saw this again in New Jersey. I mean, guys from all walks of life, and you know, people say, what do these guys have in common? I said that, you know, they look like the guy standing next to you at the dry cleaner on a Saturday morning.
And what do you think, as somebody who's, you know, quickly becoming an expert in this field, do you think the problem is getting better or is it getting worse? And if so, what do we do about it as a society? How do we punish these guys? Are we talking about chemical castration?
Well, I think what we want to do is not what we should do. What we want to do is put these guys all in one category and say, okay, we want a 30-day program that works, a treatment program, or we should lock them up forever. And the truth is, it's not that simple. These guys come from different categories. Some, you know, we'll get caught for the first time, scared straight, counseling, registration, monitoring of the computer, and they'll never do it again. I mean, probably 30 of these guys at least will never do it again. You know, a third have serious addictions and compulsions having to do with the internet and the computer. They probably wouldn't be doing this stuff unless, without the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They can probably be fixed with a combination of punishment and treatment. The third category, the other third of these guys, are the hardcore guys who would be doing this with or without the internet. And those are the guys that you really got to watch out for. I mean, I'm not defending any of these guys. I'm not saying, you know, that
right, but they're not all monsters.
Right. Yeah, and what we want as a society is, you know, simple answers. And the truth is, there are guys out there right now who know they have problems on the internet, but who have never gone to meet somebody in person, and they know they have a problem, they know they need help, and they don't know where to go. We don't have enough treatment options for these guys.
What is two quick questions before we let you go? What's the furthest someone traveled tonight when we watched To Catch a Predator?
In this investigation, we had somebody who, and he will actually show up in the next a week from tonight, but this guy,
Arctic Circle?
6 hours on a motorcycle.
Dog team.
Is that a To Catch a Predator record?
I think 6 hours is right up there.
I traveled 6 hours on a motorcycle and Chris Hansen was waiting at the other end,
I'd still do him.
Guess what? The guy turns out to be on probation for having sexually solicited a 14-year-old in a previous case.
Ah, good. I hope they throw him and his bike away forever. And far as professional, I mean, half the guys are married, right?
I don't know if exactly half, but, you know, a number of them are, yeah.
An unreasonable proportion of married people turn out to be pedophiles.
Well, I think, you know, we have to be careful about using the word pedophile. It has a very specific definition having to do with, you know, pre-puberty. You know, what we usually do is use the word predator because it, you know, captures the whole spectrum that we see.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, and perv isn't clinical.
Dateline NBC, To Catch a Predator, tonight.
Most compelling show on TV.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that, guys.
I will be watching. Thank you, Chris Hansen.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate
See you, buddy.
It.
Good times,
Bye.
Buddy boy.
Take care, guys.
We'll be watching tonight. Now, I hate to say this. It sounds weird, but the luckiest guy, the real winner in this whole equation is the boyfriend of the chick who plays the decoy.
Right.
Because it'd be like, honey, put those shorts and that top back on that I just watched you wearing for the last hour. Now go into the next room and put that voice on.
Okay, remember all that stuff that guy said he wanted to do and you said okay? Come on. If you'll do it,
we're doing it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have my roommate put a suit on and play Chris Hansen. I have a fantasy where I come in and I take out Hansen.
Right. Kick Hansen's ass.
And then I just bend you over the counter and go to town.
I wonder if anybody just walks in and asks, is Chris Hansen here? Just tell the truth.
I take it you're a virgin.
So he walks in and says, are you Lucky Pants 99?
Right.
And you don't just stand there and take it.
Yeah, I do. What I do is I give him the forearm shiver.
Right.
I snap him like kindling. And then...
You're naked.
I straddle his lifeless corpse while I work her over the island.
Nice.
Sipping sweet tea.
Right.
Nice.
Holding a guy with a styrofoam camera at bay with my left hand just by the collar. That would be the greatest.
All right, I'll play the camera guy for you.
Can you play the collar guy?
You got chasing a cat
play
around.
The camera guy.
You got Cool Whip.
Yeah, that's before I go into any house. When I meet a chick on the internet, I have this I do this ploy now. I probably shouldn't talk about it. It's not really fair, but I do a little thing I call Candygram for Chris Hansen.
Right.
I send a guy to the house
smart.
10 minutes before I get there. Candygram for Chris Hansen. Oh, that's me. And then when I see him come to the door and sign for it, I just keep driving.
Take off like a ninja.
That's how it works. Candygram for Chris Hansen. Probably shouldn't have shared it. It's what we call a trade secret.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Candygram. Wait a minute. Hold on. I think we have a clip. Is that right, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I almost forgot.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't want to play it while Chris was on the phone because he doesn't like us getting the East Coast feed and playing it early.
Oh, we have a preview.
Yeah, we actually have a preview of one of the Predators hooking up with Hansen.
He's had dozens of liaisons with people he's met online.
And have you ever been surprised?
Not really. I mean, unless you count that chick who turned out to be a dude.
So you had this sexy chat online with somebody. You showed up at their house and there was a transvestite.
Yeah.
How did you find out that she was actually a he?
The deep voice, the hair on the chest, the penis.
Had a little Adam's apple thing going on?
Yeah.
How'd that work out for you?
Jackman rolled with it. I'm a gamer. But I'm not gay. Let's just move forward.
And you scooted on out of there.
Hell yeah, pump him and dump him. Jackman learned that on Lycus 101.
Well, here's something that I think you'll also find as a surprise. This is one of our To Catch a Predator stories. Have you seen the show before?
Yeah, I got a season pass for it on Mativo. Gotta keep up with the latest tricks of the trade.
And what do you think of the stories?
I find them both informative and hot.
Did you ever think you'd be on one?
Sure, I figured it was only a matter of time. In fact, the guys at the station had a pool going.
Outside, the Long Beach police are getting into position.
Hey, is that Larry? That guy's arrested me before.
He knows what's waiting for him outside.
Hey, Larry, what's happening, home slice? Oh, hey, Ken, what's up? Good to see you again. Can you make the cuffs extra tight? Yeah, kinky.
Earl Jack Silver caught up in a web of lies. We'll take ourselves a break. All the folks that came and called and want to be a phone screener, God bless you. I appreciate it. We'll keep this going. We have not arrived at an answer yet, but we have a big star. We have Patton Oswalt waiting
from
Ratatouille. That show, that movie, that Pixar movie plays the lead in it. I don't know if it was number one last week. Maybe Transformers bumped it off, but I think the thing's made like $150 million in like the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So a hit by any standards. Patton in next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. In theaters right now, Disney Pixar's Ratatouille.
Ah, Paris, France. Home of the finest restaurants and the greatest chefs in the world. All my life, I've wanted to be one of them. You may think that's a strange dream for a rat, but I always believe that with hard work and a little luck, it's only a matter of time before I'm discovered.
And now the star of Ratatouille, Patton Oswalt, on the Adam Carolla Show.
That was actually Patton on To Catch a Predator. We have a clip from the movie. Mazel tov to you, my friend.
Were you playing Nirvana behind the Ratatouille clip?
I think that was in the movie.
I take it you're a virgin.
Patton Oswalt in studio. He plays the title character for Ratatouille and $140 million so far.
Wow.
These Pixar guys are geniuses, yes?
Yeah, they really know what they're doing over there.
How does the process work? When do you get the phone call? Do you audition? How does it work?
Well, I got the phone call like
4 years into the 6 year movie that took him 6 years to make this, and the Brad Bird, the director, writer, heard my first album and said, "That's the guy I want." And then Disney said, "Okay."
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the job.
And
I wish I had a better story.
How does the process work? How long ago did you do all the voiceover? And then how much voiceover do you do after it's done? I mean, is there a lot of pickup
stuff?
Yeah,
there's a lot of, they call it ADR, where I have to go in and fix little things. I was on it for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice gig.
It's a very nice gig. There's nothing. Yeah, it's you go in. You get to go to Pixar in Emeryville, which mm-hmm. is the coolest place on the planet.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like Willy Wonka's factory, but no child endangerment.
Mm-hmm.
And then you work with Brad Bird, and you get to meet all the animators. And you know, I'm a geek for that stuff anyway. So it's like, oh, you're the guy that did the leaves, the Bug's Life. It's wonderful to meet you.
Did you get any D&D games up there?
No D&D games today. No, they can create their own live stuff if they wanted to. They've got so much, there's so much like crazy stuff up there. Awesome.
I was saying to somebody a few weeks ago when the movie came out, was number one, I thought, well, I'd seen a couple of billboards and seen a couple of commercials, but I didn't feel like it was a full bum rush. I didn't feel like it was tons and tons of billboards and tons and tons of commercials.
Right.
And there's some movies you see advertised 6 months before the movie came out. So I said, how's this movie number one? And then I thought, because everyone knows Pixar and they just know it's a good product.
Right. Yeah.
The same way you said that Korn had not gotten any radio play and there were 30,000 people chanting. People know what's good.
Right.
Yeah, and Korn and Pixar are good.
Pixar likes to think of themselves as the Korn of Animation House.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they call themselves.
So is this the beginning of a beautiful and long, fruitful relationship with you and Pixar? Is there going to be Ratatouille 2?
So.
Is there going to be other things to do?
Yeah, Ratatouille.
Yeah, I hope that there is, although I'm not going to force it. If it happens organically, that's good. But they're not the kind of studio that says, okay, this made money, we got to do 3 more sequels right now.
Like, no.
They'll wait till they get a good story. They waited years to do Toy Story 2, and Toy Story was a massive hit.
Toy Story is possibly one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's so good.
It's so good.
And they waited. So.
And they have stuff, obviously, the lead time on this stuff, you said Ratatouille was 6 years.
6 years.
So they have stuff that they started working on 4 years, 5 years ago that'll be coming out next summer, what have you, right?
Yeah, WALL-E comes out next summer, and then there's the summer after that is a movie, I think it's Toy Story 3 comes out, that they've been working on that long, and then a movie called Up, which is about, I'm not really
Russ Meyer's film. I saw it in the 60s.
It's Up. Yeah, exactly. They're gonna digitally.
Wow, edgy.
Yeah.
They're gonna reanimate Russ Meyer's and Kit and Natividad.
Kit and Natividad's boobs actually have a role. They talk.
Urshie DeGarde's coming out.
Wow, let's keep naming them. Christy Hartberg and Teresa Tana, Hanji.
Wow. Russ Meyer's invented the D-cup in the 60s and started filming it. It was a good time.
Great story.
So Patton, how does the math work? Do you know, like, what was the budget for this movie?
I think the budget I don't know what the budget is. I never asked.
It's expensive to do this kind of animation, but it's not $100 million.
Well, yeah, but it is expensive because, as Brad Bird told me, they had to build all new software to do the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had to build from the ground up completely new software because, you know, it's set in this French kitchen and the tiles of the kitchen floor are kind of warped and uneven. So they had to, the computer will go in and clean everything up and make it straight and new. And they're like, no, we have to reteach it to leave things as worn
irregular,
as they are.
Yeah. Imperfections.
So, and then there's a scene involving water where my character goes down like a sewer pipe and he's struggling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is me. They built an entirely new program to do water where it wasn't, you could do it so that you couldn't program the water. In other words, it would act the way water does and you just try to film it and capture it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the most random. It actually behaved like water.
Okay, so would you say that this place would be a really good place or a really bad place to take ecstasy?
I think it'll be a good place at first to take ecstasy, and then after a while it might be bad.
Just too much?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, the water does what water does.
I'm going to go swimming in my computer.
Water
no, wait a
just smash.
So, yeah, that might be a little weird.
Guys, a second.
Do lots of people recognize
you? I know
that would
be the question you'd ask me, Danny. What drugs would go good at an Emeryville visit?
Danny's sober now. I was curious,
but I'm not in Emeryville.
Do lots of people recognize your voice more than before since you've been this big hit?
No, for the most part, it only happened once yesterday. Like, for the first time, someone was like, oh, you're the Rat, because this is one of those movies that it made a lot of money, but it has legs. So it wasn't one of those movies where everyone went and saw it the first weekend and then it just dropped off.
Right.
It's making the same money every single day.
Mm.
It's just steadily making money. So people are taking their time to go see it. They want to see it in a really good theater.
I don't want to cut Patton off, but I just looked up on the screen, and people are still trying to get our phone screener gig, and one says model/nurse.
Oh, we got to talk to her.
Yeah.
Oh, that's know what that is? That's a 44-year-old guy in Azusa.
Yeah.
I tell my daughter.
Sitting in
my
trailer.
Space.
So you're saying model/slash nurse is pedophile/longshoreman?
Yeah, exactly.
The only word in that sentence that's true is slash.
Melissa?
Hi.
Well, what kind of modeling do you do?
He's got a voice changer. That's weird.
You're up here in lingerie. Let's see. I'll model implied nude, and that's pretty much it.
Implied nude.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, we got Melissa from Pasadena. She puts the ass in Pasadena. Implied nudity. I got some nudity that's a little more than implied. Speaking of the microphone. Stage four. Sorry.
If you'll do implied nudity, I'll give you implied money for your job.
What kind of nursing do you do, Melissa?
I quit it because I kept getting sick all the time. I did pediatrics for a while, and one, I don't like giving kids shots.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I don't like getting sick all the time, so I'm trying to go away from that field.
Mm.
Does the implied nudity modeling pay the bills?
Yeah, actually, it does.
Now,
when
you're
not sick from those...
Like, I really have to stay on top of it, you know, like, it's got its ups and downs.
Leave it alone. Give us a pose for implied nudity. What, do you see nipple in implied nudity?
No. You'll be like, you can be naked, but still covered up in the picture.
Yeah, you've seen them before on the covers of Vogue and stuff. Legs crossed, like, arms across your chest.
Yeah, you're cupping your breasts.
Sheryl Crow behind the guitar. Yeah.
But it's implied, I mean, like those commercials where they do commercials for soap or shower or whatever, and they have the hot chick get into the shower and you see her back and stuff like that. Is it that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it can be that. It depends on what level you take it on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you also do lingerie, so you're like four or five steps shy of tramp.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Hey, cool. I think we're missing the plot. We're looking for a phone screener.
Not me. If you're a chicken or lingerie.
Do you think you'd have good phone screening skills?
You know, I have awesome phone screening skills.
Well,
I'm really good with phones.
Let's pretend Patton Oswalt called into the show. Patton, you just play guys calling into the show.
Yeah,
perhaps you have a request.
Okay.
I don't know. Go ahead, Melissa. Pick up the phone.
Okay, hello?
Well, no, wait a minute.
Okay,
we need the Adam Carolla show.
It's Adam Carolla, so Melissa speaking. How can I help you?
Yeah, am I on the radio?
Yes, you are.
I'm on right now?
Uh-huh, right now.
All right, great. So the guy, the host Adam was saying that Russ Meyer?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, That's
like brilliant, dude.
Hang on just a moment.
All right.
Hey, Melissa?
Yeah.
I don't want to burst your bubble, but they don't go right from the phone screener to on the air.
Right.
Oh, okay.
That's what you're screening them to see if they should go on the air.
Okay.
Remember you were on hold for 10 minutes?
That's right.
All right, you're hot. I'm going to give you a pass. Let's try this again.
Okay.
You ready? Here we go. Are you on your break, Melissa?
It's ringing. No one's answering. It's weird.
Hello, what?
Adam Carolla, show Melissa speaking. How can I help you?
So, I called in earlier. I wanted to hear Sniffin' the Tears' Driver's Seat, and they didn't play it. It's just like these two guys talking. One of them sounds like he's half asleep. The other guy's yelling at him. So, are they going to play that song or what?
Hang on. Let me put you on hold. I'm going to see what I could do.
Awesome.
Hello?
Melissa?
Hey.
Yes?
I thought you said I was on hold.
Yeah, oh, man, this is so difficult.
Just help the customer.
It's so hard for me to pretend.
Well, you do simulated nudity. That's all
I
you do.
Know, but, like, acting and pretending is, okay.
Simulate you're not retarded.
Hold on. Melissa, what, give us a celebrity that you resemble.
Let's see. There's, well, do you have MySpace right now?
Sean Penn.
Like, next to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys, I don't think it matters how cute she is, because I don't think cute lasts over the phone if you can't really answer the phone.
You see, I think it's just the opposite. When people can't do their job, if they're hot, it makes it much more, it's a much less bitter pill to swallow.
Okay,
yeah.
Why don't you send, can you send a picture on to me on MySpace and we'll post it on AdamCarolla.com?
Sure, I'll send it right now.
Implies
good old driver's seat for you.
AdamCarolla.com?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, Melissa.
Uh-huh.
You sound like a delight.
Thanks.
Quickly, what is veal and what is venison?
Veal is a baby lamb. Venison is an adult deer.
Veal, baby lamb.
Mm-hmm. Venison is deer.
Deer. Okay, that's teenage good. Deer or?
No, it's a deer.
Okay, hang on, baby doll. T, don't put that puss on.
Yeah, are you insane?
When I have to stare at Kyle and pre-op, board-op Bill all morning long.
Adam.
He's got to listen to the golden tones of Bonaducci.
Lamb. Baby lamb. We've given away the answer 12 times.
All right, but let me say this. You know those businesses that have those motivational posters in the bathroom? It's a bald eagle soaring over the Rockies. And it, you know what I'm saying? That's what a hot chick is.
Yes.
That's what a hot chick is. You can waste all the money you want on the motivational posters and the guys coming in. He's going to talk to the crew because he played a couple of years in the NFL and he knows what it's like to sacrifice in a team effort. Or you could have one hot chick from Pasadena that does implied nudity and all of a sudden everyone is motivated.
I don't mind hot, but give me something a step above a fern.
Veal with baby lamb. She knows her business.
It's so close. It's a calf in a sweater.
We can get somebody who's hot and smart.
Will you find me that human being?
I can't. Yeah, I can't. Yeah.
We need to take ourselves a break. Speaking of hot and smart. Martin, Patton Oswalt.
Oh. Yeah. Well, Mr. Corolla.
Did you just touch your nipple? You're super freaky.
Maybe.
He's turned into Mr. Mooney from The Lucy Show. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Back with Patton next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser.
A 63-year-old woman gave birth. And the article that I read about it, the focus of the article wasn't, yeah! The focus was, well, last year, the record for childbirth was 62 years old. Luckily, science stepped up to the plate, and the new record is 63. You know, I am completely pro-science, anti-creationism all the way, but sometimes science is wrong and gives us shit we don't need, like 63-year-old women giving birth. Why not just come out and go, hey, we made cancer airborne and contagious. You're welcome. We're science.
Now more with Patton Oswalt on the Adam Carolla Show.
Patton in studio, the star of Pixar's latest offering, Ratatouille. Number one, or at least number one last week, $140 million, and wait till the DVD comes out.
Those guys pay okay?
They pay really nicely.
Right on.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah,
I have no complaints.
They should. We, talking about a new phone screener. Man, this is fun. I just looked up and saw Fiona. Yeah. Show needs Australian, honey.
Ooh, yeah, I focused right on that, too.
Fiona?
Hello. Good morning, Adam, Danny, and Teresa. How are you?
There's something so good. There's something so appealing about that accent. That
look
Australian
where she is,
accent.
By the way. Look where she's calling from.
Miracle Mile?
Wow. Yes, I know. I live practically across the road, so I shouldn't be late for work.
And you know what's cool about Australian chicks? They can drink, and they're used to being treated badly by men.
Hey, bitch, why don't you pick me up a six-pack and get over here? See if this
Fiona,
works.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Just a six-pack? What, you like this morning?
Oh, yeah. Nice. Do I know my Australian chicks?
Yeah.
Fiona.
I like this, Sheila.
Hey. Spent a lot of time in your part of the world.
Hey, Fiona?
Yes.
Why don't you just come over here and let us kick your tires?
I'm actually just at La Cienega in Santa Monica. I can come over tomorrow morning. No problem at all. Just
all right.
I like it.
All right.
Yeah.
Or you can swing by the house tonight.
And thanks, I my Fiona, own. What kind of job do you have now?
Well, I'm a travel agent currently, but I did work in Australian radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, professionals.
Yeah, but that's like a coconut and a vine or something, right? There's nothing like... what's Australian radio?
You yell.
Oh, it's terrific, guys.
That actually doesn't that sound like drug slang?
Right.
Like, hey, man, I used to be on Australian radio, if you know what I mean.
Wow.
Nice.
Nice.
Wow. She's hired.
All right.
Yeah. She's
Fiona,
so hired.
Come by in person tomorrow.
I will. What time would you like me there?
Say no. I don't know. Come by at 7 o'clock. I'll show you Australian for boner.
Got a good sense of humor? She can roll with it?
Yeah, good times, baby doll.
And Australians, we know our meat, so we know veal and venison.
Yeah.
No problem.
Look,
there.
Let's face it, everyone's smarter than we are.
I know.
We have the dumbest, but quite possibly the best looking group on the planet. But as we get better looking, we get dumber. I think there's a correlation there. Patton Oswalt in studio. Patton, usually a little Dungeons and Dragons talk when you come in here. Mm-hmm. I know you're in a transitional period.
Well, it's been some dark times in the country of Azeroth. As you know, as I'm sure you all know, there was a massive alien and wizard-fueled cataclysm last month.
Sure.
And basically the entire world was destroyed along with all of our characters who prevented... We failed to prevent the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
So we all were just kind of fried in a massive white light of eldritch sorcery and whatever. What have you.
Mm-hmm.
So we've all rolled up new characters, and we're starting the new campaign tonight.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, you're starting a new campaign?
It means we're all at first level, and the Dungeon Master has an entire new adventure that we're just starting from scratch. It's called a campaign.
What's your new character?
I rolled up for the first time, I've never played it before, a paladin. Paladin is like a fighter, but he has like weird holy powers. So imagine like Pat Robertson and Conan the Barbarian together. Yeah.
He's like a man.
Crazy holy roller dude. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Goodwin Triumphant.
And do you come up with your own name?
Yeah. I'm going to make him like almost like a Jerry Falwell, except he can use a battle axe.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm going to make him.
Imposing.
Yeah.
And you'll be going at it tonight with who else?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we have the elite of nerddom. We have Blaine Capatch, comedian Blaine Capatch.
I'm a nerd.
Has rolled up an elven wizard who has one of the lowest stat scores. He has a 4. I think he's going to have like a 4 strength. Like he can barely lift a dagger. And then Brian Posehn from the Sarah Silverman Show has rolled up yet another fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian and I are very angry because we rolled up our hit points. That's how much damage you can take. I rolled a 1 and he rolled a 2.
Let me say roll.
Oh, we have different sided dice that we use.
Uh-huh.
How many sides?
There's 4-sided, 6-sided, 8-sided, 10, 12, and 20.
I like
do you ever feel like naming some of the people that you play with is kind of like the McCarthy era, that you're just going to blacklist these guys from any cool bar?
You're going to name
I
names.
I am not now, nor have I ever participated in Dungeons & Dragons.
You know, it's funny. When I think about you and Brian Posehn, I think back to the Smoking the Bandit series with Pat McCormick and John Williams.
Right.
Was it John Williams?
No, it's Paul Williams.
Paul Williams.
Yes. John Williams.
Yes, he's a composer, right. Yeah, Paul, well, both composers.
Right.
But I think of you as sort of the nerd Dungeons & Dragons equivalent to Pat and Paul.
Wow, we should go dressed as that for Halloween.
Oh, that would be awesome with the white suits, the bolo ties, and the cowboy hats.
That'd be perfect.
Red Cadillac, Eldorado convertible with the bull horns on it, and you just keep yelling at everyone, I'm going to give you $50,000 to get a truckload of Coors this side of the Mississippi.
I'll just have bets with people all night.
With the D&D
I'll give you
play.
$5 if you can give me that bowl of corn chips in 1 minute. Get across the room and back. He's bounding.
You call him Daddy. And he hits you with his hat.
Little anus and big anus.
Yeah, that's right. Posehn, if you're listening, I picked out your outfit.
There we go.
It's a white cowboy outfit.
I'd like to kick his butt just once.
My wife kicked me out of the house, and since I'm having a midlife crisis, my new girlfriend is 25 years old. And she was
perfect.
Telling me how incredibly cool and funny you are, because we're looking at the show rundown.
Did she
I wonder
also
what
tell
she's
you
thinking
about,
right now.
Was she also telling you about, I'm trying to think of a Nickelodeon show in her mind, sorry.
SpongeBob?
Patton Oswalt's great, and SpongeBob, and the Wiggles, and... can I get my juice cup?
Baby Einstein's is one of her favorites.
Baby Einstein.
Crystal?
Yes?
You're hot? And cute?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm smart. I have a great people skill, and I will definitely be on point and on every late, and I will work hard.
The difference between veal and venison?
Well, that's calf and deer.
All right.
And, I shouldn't even use extra words. Get right to the point.
What do you do for a living now?
Actually, right now I'm a full-time student, and I was a personal assistant to my dad, but actually I'm not going to really do that anymore because I need to find a job where I'm going to actually move up.
Well, would you call Adam and Danny daddy?
What's that?
Ew.
God, that's come on, T. This is not a beauty contest. It's not Miss Tropicana. We're looking for someone to man the phone.
Crystal, what is,
what a chick's thing
what does your dad do that you are assisting him?
Well, actually, he owns racehorses, and he owns the body shop on Sunset. And,
okay. Dad owns the body shop?
Hey, everybody! We got what we call legacy coming to the stage, everybody. Pops brought her in here when she was four. She never left.
Folks, you paid for the whole seat. You're only going to use the end.
Yeah.
Here comes Stormy with two E's.
Change stage four, stage four.
Folks, we got a long song special coming up, a little Foreigner. So make sure to get those extra 20s ready. Pick out a dancer you like.
It's all in the families and all on your lap. Yeah, Crystal. She didn't even need a fake stripper name. Her dad owned a strip club and named her after a stripper. Died tragically in her own hand. OD'd on glitter. Hey, quit your grinning. Drop your linen. Crystal on stage.
Huh? Okay. Crystal, have you ever done any stripping?
Oh, no. I'm not that kind of girl.
And I wish you weren't a liar.
You know who I am, and usually your wife calls me Chrissy, so...
Huh? What?
Okay, well, I'd have hung up already right now.
Chrissy.
I'm just subbing off
Chrissy,
the phone.
How does your wife know you? How does Lynette know you?
I'm actually her niece and I was her personal assistant for about a year.
Oh, that Crystal.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
What's wrong with her?
Now sick. No, she's normal. She's just a good, hard-working chick.
What's that?
We're not looking for civilians, baby. Mm. Plus, I don't need any conduit to back home.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't need anybody muling information from this show back to my house.
And I'm concerned about, you know, the trust fund. Maybe she's not hungry for
exactly.
It, you know?
Yeah.
She's got a stripper money coming in when she's old enough.
And there's a room in her house filled with nothing but ones.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, she's
going to get a trust fund and a giant G-string.
all right, Crystal, you're a civilian. You're practically family. For Christ's sake, that would be sick.
Come on, I wasn't even going to say that, but you guys didn't like my name, so I had to say it. They called me Chrissy. And
goodbye.
Yeah,
come on,
sorry. Say
goodbye.
Hi to Auntie Lynette. No,
sorry, sweetie.
You're that connected to the host, because when we have, like, the strippers in here or the porn stars, and I say I'm doing stuff with them, and then when I get home and I say it was just a bit, I don't need witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, anybody say, it was no bit. He was doing that girl.
No, I know. Patton Oswalt in studio. We need to take ourselves a break. We're going to come back with a Boomer and the Nudge call.
Oh,
that's Patton and Jimmy Kimmel at their best doing a little prank.
Are you in the background as Donkey Boy?
I'm not sure if Donkey Boy is behind this one. Patton, you want to hang out and help us with the news when we come back?
Yeah, and then I'm going to scoot.
All right, Patton Oswalt. Yeah. Ratatouille, name of the new film. Quick break. Right back after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. Here's a crank call from the Crank Anchor's Vault with Patton Oswalt and Jimmy Kimmel.
McFadden, do.
Hey, you're on the air right now with Boomer and the Nudge, 97.1 Megamixin and Party Jammin'. Who are we talking to?
Mike.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Do you listen to Boomer and the Nudge every morning from 6 to 9 a.m.?
Yes, we do. Okay. I got it on right now.
All right, Mike, as you probably know, Monday is our on-air air day, and we call up businesses and find people that are brave enough, man enough, and have the plums to do an on-air air. Are you ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
Do you have the plums to play I Have the Junk?
Well, that sounded like a yes. All right, Mike, here's what we need you to do. And if you're ready to win big, we need you to find a coworker, put your hands down the pants of that coworker, grab onto their genitals, and yell out, I have the junk!
Do you have any coworkers around you there?
Yeah, just a minute.
Okay, hang on.
Robert.
Hello?
Hey there, Robert. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Okay. Has Mike talked to you about what we're going to do here?
No.
Okay, what I need you to do is unbutton your pants right now. Mike is going to put his hand down them. He's going to grab hold of your nuts. He's going to scream, I have the junk, and you're going to win all sorts of prizes.
Who is this for?
It's Boober to the Nudge, 97.1, Mega Mix and Power Jam and Party Hopping, all kinds of stuff on your drive to work. Are you ready to play I Have the Junk?
It's an on-air dare. We need you to hear you say yes.
Okay, sure. Why not?
All right. Let's do it. Why don't you unbutton those pants?
Are you unbuttoning the pants right now?
Sure.
We need you both to get up near the phone. Okay.
Okay, hold on just a second.
Go get Mike.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, Mike, this is weird. Get to the phone there,
too. Okay, good.
What do you want me to say?
I want you to scream, I have the jug once you seize hold of his gonads.
I have the jug once you see his gonads.
No. Listen, you're getting a little ahead of us here. We need you to put your hands down the front of his pants, grab onto his genitals, and then yell, I have the junk.
Are you ready to do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, let's hear that zipper going down. Put the phone next to the zipper.
Okay,
very good. Do you have your hand down his pants? All right, slide it in there.
Okay.
Now I want you to squeeze a little bit harder than you should, and yell out the phrase that pays, I have the junk.
I have the junk.
Whoa! Oh, hey!
Okay, now, we're not quite done, Mike. What we want you to do now is to kiss each one of his balls gently as if you're kissing a baby on its bottom. Now, go ahead. Now, geez. Get your lips down to his balls.
Big cash prizes.
Is that where that end is right there?
That was abrupt.
That's as far as that went.
Yeah.
I was thinking the guy was lying to you.
I guess the guy didn't want a Boomer in the Nudge coffee mug.
But I'm thinking now in a beer cruise. But I'm thinking now he got that guy sack in his hand.
Maybe that was it.
And then he went to kiss him and said, "I just can't go this far."
Yeah. Patton Oswalt is in studio. He is the Nudge. I think of Boomer in the Nudge.
I was the Nudge. Yeah, and the Nudge. Jimmy was Boomer.
Werewolves and Lollipops, name of the new CD, out as we speak. Go to subpop.com. Also, Ratatouille in theaters as we speak. T.
Yes.
You got the news?
Yep.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Atlanta Falcons QB Michael Vick was indicted yesterday on conspiracy charges related to his alleged illegal dogfighting operation. Authorities have some very, very disturbing contentions about Vick and what went on his property in Virginia. They're saying that there were dogfights there with purses for individual fights that went as high as 26 grand. Authorities who raided his property said they found the graves of 7 dogs. They also found a so-called rape stand, which is used to hold dogs in place for mating, and dog treadmills.
Great Spinal Tap song, too, by the way. I understand this.
Now, how do they know that the bitch wasn't consenting?
Yes.
Why is it a rape stand?
She could have walked her way over to the rape stand. You don't know that.
It was more of a date rape stand?
Yes. Roofie stand. Hey, you know, you expect this in professional golf, but in the NFL...
I, for one, am shocked.
I am shocked as well. But I was talking to a friend of mine who writes sports, and we were talking about this story yesterday, and I think we need to strike a balance, because I've realized that the brothers and the Latinos, they still treat dogs like dogs. We, the blue-eyed people of the planet, we've turned them into human beings. And I feel like there's a balance to strike here, because we are used to Paula Abdul and her 5 dogs that she has sleep on the bed. My dog sleeps on top of me. I am a rape stand.
Right.
I'm a sleeping, passive rape stand. My dog sleeps on top of me. I have to get up and feed her before I feed myself. And then if I leave without saying goodbye, my wife says, "You've hurt Molly's feelings. Now say goodbye to the dog who's licking itself in the entry hall." We've gone too far. Perhaps there's a balance.
Yeah,
I don't mean
gone
too far with yourself.
He went too far, too.
He did.
He sucks.
He's a horrible...
He sucks. He's a horrible human being.
He's a horrible human being, and as my friend was saying, too, he said, "Have you ever taken a look at Michael Vick? He's hard. Like, when you look at his eyes, you realize if this guy wasn't playing in the NFL, what do you think he'd be up to?
But this is like, you know, when I watch that show Animal Cops, I just think that the cops in that show should just be shooting people.
Yes.
Wait a minute, I gotta feed this thing every day?
Yes.
Yeah, hey, look over there for a second. Just right in the back of the head.
So it is pathetic and sad. Yes.
I have a question for you as a really successful stand-up comic. Mm-hmm. I happen to be playing Atlanta this weekend. I'll be broadcasting from there on Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I doing Michael Vick jokes in Atlanta?
Black audience?
I would not assume so, no.
Mm. Check out the audience.
It has nothing to do with him being black. It has everything to do with him being just an evil psycho.
But no. See, my whole act is about me being an evil psycho. Does it work in or does it work against me?
I think it will work for you. I mean,
should I call him a pussy?
I think
size up the audience.
I think a black audience, once they hear, like, dog fighting, dog graves, and rape stand, they're like, okay, well, he lost all his black cred with us. So creepy.
Yeah, it is despicable, and I hope they throw him out of the league if half this stuff is true.
I would agree. Patton Oswalt, you've been a comedian for something like 20 years.
Right.
I assume that you know both Andy Dick and John Lovitz.
Oh, my God. I just realized today is my 19-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
I started on July 18th. Oh, my God.
Of what?
Of 1988.
Doing comedy. Your first set was in what city?
In Washington, D.C.
How'd it go?
It was horrible. But I knew someday I would be on the Adam Carolla Show in Los Angeles on the Miracle Mile if I just stuck with it, man. I'll be with the guy from the Partridge Family. Early in the morning, I'll be tanked on Red Bull, and he'll be yelling at me about Atlanta.
He'll have no idea how many people have said that. I'll wake up with that guy from the Partridge Family, and he'll be yelling at me.
So this is your 19th anniversary.
19th, yeah.
In all your years, have you ever been beaten down physically by another comedian?
No.
This is what happened. I don't know if you heard.
I think I was, Brian Posehn and I were at Golden Apple, and there was a first issue of The Sandman signed by Neil Gaiman, and I wanted it, and he came at me, but he didn't.
You misunderstood. The guy yelled, Neil Gaiman.
Right.
And you assumed that he was on the premises.
Oh, man.
Okay, now let me try and get to
that. That's what goes on there at the Golden Apple.
Oh, wow.
At the Laugh Factory, where I assume you performed, Patton, there was a fight over the weekend.
God, I hate the Laugh Factory.
Is it bad over there?
It's awful.
Well, John Lovitz.
Hey, buddy.
Yes.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
A lot of hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
John Lovitz.
When the owner of the place has to give testimony at the Michael Jackson trial, you know you're in the right place.
Yeah, exactly. They always go to Jamie Masada. As the media has done here, this story is getting a lot of attention. John Lovitz apparently administered a very serious beatdown to his fellow comedian Andy Dick.
Oh, yeah.
The club owner, Jamie Masada, says, quote, John picked Andy up by the head and smashed him into the bar four or five times, and blood started pouring out of his nose.
Mm.
Now, what is the cause?
Yeah. I don't know how accurate that story is, because according to some, I think it was like Gawker.com, some people saw Andy the day after that supposedly happened walking around Manhattan, and he didn't look all that bruised up. Maybe, you know, he got himself cleaned up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Look, wanting to smash Andy Dick's face into anything really makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. It's a very basic human impulse.
People hear that story and go, oh, okay, that happened.
Yeah, apparently the genesis has to do with the Phil Hartman hex. Have you heard about this?
So evil. This whole story is so
what?
Evil.
No, I don't know.
Give me.
I know the whole story.
Okay, well, tell us.
Allegedly.
Thank you for that.
Allegedly, John Lovitz, well, this isn't alleged. John Lovitz and Phil Hartman were like best of friends. They came out of Groundlings together, and then they did SNL. And then allegedly.
Were they on news?
No, one replaced the other.
Oh, sorry.
So apparently at a house party at Phil Hartman's house, allegedly, like 5 months before the murder, Andy Dick gave Bryn, his wife,
Phil Hartman's wife,
coke,
who later killed him,
clean for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
And so, and then later when John Lovitz replaced Phil Hartman on news radio, when he came on the set, he told Andy, "I wouldn't be here if you hadn't given Bryn that coke."
In other words, he replaced Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman, yeah. So
John Lovitz
all this like weirdness back and forth.
So the implication was
I don't know if I agree
with that.
That's a little. I think John was just in some heavy grieving.
Mm-hmm.
But he has like his best friend.
Yeah.
So, you know, but at the same time, then Andy Dick kept escalating it. And not that I'm defending Andy Dick, but he can't help but his whole thing is he wants to escalate things. He wants, you know, his whole he. I remember him doing a set. I was doing a show with him, and he was talking about how he had done something at a college where he had like gotten booed off stage. It was really bad, and he was dwelling on it, and his agent was very wisely saying, "Hey, let's just get this behind us." And
right.
and he's like, "Yeah, let's just get our whole life behind us." And not, like, no, he's not saying that. He just move on from this incident. It's not the end of the world. But
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know that he has a sort of antagonistic
right.
sort of. I always say it this way: there's some people who, when they have a toothache, can't stop flicking it with their tongue.
Exactly.
Even though it hurts, they're compelled to do it. Like, Andy is compelled to do that kind of stuff. If he experiences some pain or some discomfort, or someone around him is some pain or discomfort, he has to roll in it.
Amplify
he doesn't avoid it.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting...
And he's also, not to interrupt,
yes.
but he's the kind of person that, you know, some people, you'll get into a car accident, you'll go, okay, my car is totaled, the other guy wasn't looking, I'm not the target here, I'm just going to move forward with my life and get my car fixed. And Andy Dick's the kind of guy that if he's at Starbucks and they don't give him the right amount of sugar in his coffee, he'll want to burn the place to the ground. Like,
right.
he'll want to create, why yeah. are you, why do you hate me so much? Like, dude, I'll get you another coffee. No, let's talk about this.
Well, forget about Phil Hartman for a second,
yeah.
someone who we're saying is a couple steps removed from the tragedy from Andy Dick, quite possibly. What about him going to Vegas with the other guy?
Yeah, from Suddenly Susan.
From Suddenly Susan. He was.
Yeah.
They did Loveline 2 days before
oh, wow.
that trip.
Really?
Yeah, the guy
oh.
did. I can't recall
Me
his
either.
Name
David,
now.
Somebody.
But the point is
dead guy.
Let's not forget who was doing the blow with Dick in Vegas before that tragedy happened.
He's like a bisexual Grim Reaper.
Well, actually,
really
it's funny
is.
You should mention
He's
that.
He's Tom Ford Mary.
Right. Well, he John Lovitz is saying that Andy Dick came up to him in a restaurant and
yeah,
said,
yeah,
"I'm going to put
the rest
Phil,
of the story.
I'm
going
to put the Phil Hartman hex on you,
and mm-hmm. and you'll be the next to die."
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is like, okay.
No love lost. And John Lovitz has said that.
Lovitz, by the way, is a little nutty as well. Probably.
Yeah, although, by the way, when they're at the Laugh Factory, then Lovitz said to Andy, "I don't know why you said that to me. That was so evil." And Andy said, "I don't remember saying that."
Yes.
And then he
That's
said,
right.
then he gets got in close and said something even more evil and then said, "Why don't you be in my next movie?" And
yes.
that's when Lovitz snapped.
That's I when he it. Snapped and started their pushing began after Andy Dick asked him to be in his next movie.
Well,
but
thank God yes. cooler heads prevailed and Michael
yeah.
Richards charged the stage and started yelling the N-word.
Yeah, what is going on at the Laugh Factory?
I don't
know. It's becoming like this.
The
like,
curse of the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, man.
You hate it there.
It's just so that, but that and the Comedy Store, they just emanate evil. It's they
Isn't
emanate
the Comedy
evil.
Store haunted?
It used to be Ciro's back in the '40s, and the walls are lined with lead, and everything in there is black tile, black carpet. As my old manager said, "Oh, it's that way because when people would spill their Coke in the '80s, they could see it and get it up really quickly and not lose any."
Yeah,
oh, that's clever.
Do you want to hear a cool? I'll tell you. Yeah, there exactly.
And also, Jamie Masada is is turning.
Hey,
into Mayor Villaraigosa.
Oh, buddy.
He is Mr. Press Conference.
Buddy.
I don't know the difference between Villaraigosa physically and Jamie Masada
One
anymore.
One of them is venison.
Yeah, all I know is Masada speaks with a less thick accent than
Oh, my
Ragosa.
God, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm on Yahoo News right now. The AIDS virus just caught Andy Dick.
Oh.
It just was diagnosed with Andy Dick. That's so sad.
You mean AIDS
yeah,
caught
AIDS,
Andy Dick?
AIDS
itself.
Has been... diagnosed with Andy Dick.
Wow.
It's awful.
Does it have full-blown Andy Dick?
I'm not sure. They're not saying right now.
It's not full-blown Dick.
Well,
right now.
Will the AIDS have to go to Andy Dick Hospice?
I don't know. It's going to be rough. Let me tell you, this is why I'm
have to take some ACT.
Let me tell you what, this is why I love Andy Dick. Years ago, Andy calls me up and he says, "Patton, I want you to write a movie for me. I have an idea for a screenplay." And I mean, I think Andy, despite his messed up as he is, he's a really funny guy.
I agree.
So he says, he goes, "I have this idea for a movie." And he kind of, it's kind of like a Christopher Guest kind of thing. And I'm kind of listening. I was like, "Yeah, that's not bad. I'm in between all these projects." And he said, "But I can give you $10,000 to write that script." And I said, "Look, I don't want to sound snotty, but that's way below guild minimum, like, to write a
right.
to write a spec."
$26,000.
And then he said, what if I told you that $10,000 was being put up by Madonna? And then I was like, well, Madonna money isn't worth more than regular money. You know what I mean? It's just, yeah, it's just still 10 grand. Yeah. But in his mind, like, that's, it's Madonna. She touched it. Let's do this movie.
You do a hell of a Andy Dick.
I know. It's really good. Well, yeah. I don't think we have time to get to our
yeah, we do. Do we?
Okay.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, right. You're all good, no, wait, it's a rare treat to have you, Patton Oswalt. Now, Conan had Jessica Biel on his show and asked her favorite body part.
I really like my back.
You like your back?
I do. My father was a swimmer, and I sort of have his, like, V-backed muscular, and I think it's nice.
Is there a part of your body that you're not crazy about?
Yeah, I think my knuckles are kind of fat.
Fat knuckles.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me nervous.
But I appreciate the lack of false humility.
May I just say I would leave my wife for her knuckles. Just the knuckles. She could be married to another guy.
The worst part. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I told you yesterday she has the best posture of any human being I've ever seen. She walks down the red carpet with her shoulder blades touching.
Yeah,
she actually tacos her back. Her shoulders are pulled back so far they're making contact, and it's like she's walking with an encyclopedia on her head.
I did a movie with her, and she's like, you want to put that Voight Kampff test on her from Blade Runner. Like, I don't think that's human. Like,
yeah.
Jessica, you're walking through the desert, and you see a tortoise on its back. What do you do? You know, like, she's so ridiculously
perfect.
Is
she the most beautiful woman you've seen in person?
Yeah, ridiculously beautiful.
So am I a nerd now that I know exactly what you mean and what the right answer to that question is?
Yeah, isn't that sad?
Yeah.
What do you mean, tortoise? Turtle, same thing.
She is spectacular looking. Yeah. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. But I don't like when they don't pick a real part. Like, I don't like when people say, my vices, my addictions. Chocolate.
Adam, it's Andy Dick. Can I tell you my favorite body part?
Yeah.
My labia. Get it, what I just said? I shouldn't have a labia. It's crazy.
Hey, Andy. Oh, Andy, you got a split, don't you?
Yeah, I gotta go. I'm meeting Mike Farrell at the International House of Pancakes, and I'm going to throw BBs at him until he hits me with a baseball bat. It's going to be great. So punk rock.
Andy, how's the band going? Are you still singing?
It's pretty good. We're trying to do this thing where we schedule a show, and then I show up 2 hours late, take a dump on stage, cry, and leave, because I think that'll be so edgy. What do you think?
Yeah, awesome. Andy Dick and the Bitches of the Century, everyone. Coming to a stage near you, and Patton Oswalt as well. Werewolves and Lollipops.
Lollipops.
Entire B-side of the CD, if in fact they have them anymore, is him doing...
B-side.
Him vamping Andy Dick.
I'm just doing Andy Dick.
Yeah, flip it over. Flip that CD over
and you get to hear my...
Do you have a signing in Amoeba coming up?
Yes, next Wednesday I'll be at Amoeba Records.
Oh, that's
and,
right.
Next Monday I'll be at the Largo.
We will take ourselves a break. Go to subpop.com to find out any information about Patton. Patton, always a delight.
Thanks, guys.
We'll be right back.
What up? This is Andy Dick, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Hey, give Adam a call at 1-866-901-ADAM. Ooh, excuse me.
Well, watching CNN this morning, lots of talk about imminent attacks on this soil from our good friends over at Al-Qaeda. Well, it was all over the news last week. Michael Chertoff, the Homeland Security Director, was saying that he had a gut feeling.
Yeah, so there might be a summer terrorist attack here.
Yeah, be prepared. Keep your eyes open.
Be vigilant.
Be vigilant. But for what? It's one of the only times they don't tell you for what. When they do a story and they go, hey, a lot of Americans have high cholesterol, they go, eat more leafy green vegetables, exercise more. All the news does is dispatch no ass Sherlock advice.
Right.
You know, secondhand smoke's a killer. So if you're in a room and there's more than 100 people smoking in it, you may want to stand outside of that. Yeah. They give you advice when it's hot. It's 115 degrees in the valley, so if you're going to be working outside, bring yourself plenty of water. Yeah, no ass.
Wait a second. Are the malls crowded on Christmas?
The malls are crowded. You may want to get there early. You know, the airport's during the busy Easter weekend, so you may want to leave the house. Yes, we're so full of retarded advice that even when it gets hot, they literally tell us to go ahead and crack a window and turn a fan on, even though every human being has a thermometer built into them. It's right. Called, I'm hot. Yes. I'm going to open a goddamn window. But with the terrorists, zero.
No, just stay zero. Vigilant.
Stay vigilant. Why? Well, you're getting into profiling. And all the pussy news agencies run. Because you can't get into here's what to look out for right. Without working a nationality into the mix, in which case we have nothing. So, nothing but tips on how to beat the heat, nothing but tips on how to lose weight. Hey, exercise more, take it easy on the high-calorie fried stuff. None of the no-S Sherlock's advice we get for everything else. Right. Here's something that could actually, I could use a tip on. Here's one where I would like the public at large to be looking out for some specific things. Give us a hint. What do you think?
Now, since we can't say who to look out for, could we go by process of elimination and show people, you know, we have never had a problem with this lady and show a Nord?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You
right.
Know? Maybe we really should.
Haven't
yeah.
had a problem with this guy and show a German and say, I mean, in the last 50 years or so.
Our racial profiling is our ace in the hole.
Yeah.
It's our little derringer in the boot. It's the one thing we have. They pray we don't do it. They must laugh their asses off on how goddamn stupid we are for saying we're not going to do it. But it is the quickest, easiest way to prevent all of this. Racial profiling.
Right.
That's how you get rid of it.
We won't even height profile. A friend of mine, a stand-up comic named Bob Gollum, pointed out to me the other day that, not Saddam Hussein, who's the guy that we're looking for right now?
Oh, Bin Laden.
Bin Laden. Is 6'4" in a country where the average size is 5'6". Shoot the tall guy.
That's right.
And just take a chance.
Yeah, just start firing at about 6 foot and lay it down. Sure, you'll kill a camel or two, but so be it.
Well, I think the problem
that's
is...
That's veal, isn't it? A camel?
Yes.
Yeah,
veal.
Hump.
Many terrorists are Muslim, but not all Muslims are terrorists.
T.S. And here's the thing with all the racial profiling. Here's how you get rid of it. Knock it off. That's all.
Knock off the bad behavior.
Don't be the group that does it, and then we'll knock it off. That's the way it works. You want to dress like a gangbanger, but you're not a gangbanger? Don't dress like a gangbanger.
Yeah.
It's very easy, yet we're all scared whizless to say anything about it. Now, their smartest move, if they're Al-Qaeda, is recruiting Whitey.
Right.
And I don't know how long it takes, but eventually, and Tom Clancy should be working on this novel right now,
yeah.
It's the blonde-haired, blue-eyed kid
Nord.
That gets smuggled into wherever and gets raised. That is going to be the element of surprise.
Right.
And I wonder if they're working on it, and I wonder if they even have any. Are there any homegrown terrorists here? Are there any the Timothy McVeighs of the world that have said, I'm white, I'm from Iowa, and I'm with you dudes?
Actually,
yeah. There have been a couple.
There's been the American Al-Qaeda, that was what they called them, and Richard Reed, is that right?
Yeah, but Richard Reed looked like the lead singer from the Spin Doctor.
He looked like Head.
He did.
He did look like Head.
He did look like the Spin Doctor.
I'm talking about a guy who looks like Tom Brady, not a guy with a crazy Al-Qaeda beard and crazy Al-Qaeda hair.
Get a girl.
Yes.
Wait, did you just get a blonde girl?
Yeah.
Are we still talking about the Al-Qaeda or the phone screener again?
Yeah. I'm saying...
He's not going to get stopped at the airport.
I know we do have a handful of crazy so-called white people that are sympathetic to Al-Qaeda in this country, but they look nuts and they grow the crazy Cat Stevens beard, and maybe he's a good example. We can still pick him out.
Yeah.
He's dressed as a terrorist.
I'm
talking
Angie.
About the guy who looks like Tab Hunter.
Yeah.
Tab Terrace.
It's that kind of current reference that keeps this show hot.
Yeah, matinee idols from the 50s. Yeah, he was on Where the Boys Are from 1956 with Frankie Avalon and Ned Funicello.
Surprisingly,
he found out Where the Boys Are a little later on in his career, if you remember.
I think I have Al-Qaeda's ultimate weapon, actually.
Oh, let's hear it.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Graham Wellington.
Graham Wellington Terrace.
All I'm saying is, you wussy news agencies, what we need to start doing is racial profiling. Sorry, that's it. That's it. When you see the swarthy-looking guys with the big beards that are all hanging out in the van, you got to pick up the phone. And if they're a bunch of white chicks, then you don't pick up the phone. That's what we need. That's all we have. It's implied when they say look for suspicious whatever, that's what they're talking about. Yeah. But they don't have the huevos to bring it up. I think it's going to be a lot harder for the terrorists to do whatever the terrorists are planning on doing because of this now. I think we had politically corrected ourselves right into being victims 5-6 years ago before the 9/11 attack.
Right.
We don't talk about it, but we're all thinking about it now. I think they're going to have a much tougher time because of said racial profiling, even if it's done covertly.
I see. If I were a terrorist, and from Afghanistan or wherever, born and bred, what I would do is dress up exactly like a terrorist. Mm-hmm. I'd wear the whole thing with the full beard.
I see where you're going.
And say, well, you don't have the balls to stop me because I look like I should.
Political
no disguise at all. I'm in the robes. I got the beard. I got the thing. I got the whole schlob. I come on into your airport and you go, well, he wouldn't dress like that, and we really can't racial profile. Let that guy go.
Right. I agree,
I
think it would have worked before 9/11, but now I think even though it's not spoken, even though we tell people, and by the way, I'm telling you to racially profile. I don't want to live in an environment where we tell you not to. Please, everyone within the sound of my voice, knock yourself out with the racial profiling. I would like to save the next Twin Towers that may be coming down. But as we've figured out, Graham Wellington could in fact be their secret with an explosive cardigan. We'll take ourselves
grams of C4 Wellington.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Be right back after this. Well, we are plumb at a show. I want to thank Brian Welch from Korn. Save me from myself. Signing tonight, 7 o'clock, Book Soup. Chris Hansen, Dateline, NBC to Catch a Predator. Chris Hansen.
You're a virgin.
Candy Graham is the greatest idea I've ever had. Tonight, 10 o'clock, NBC, Patton Oswalt, Werewolves and Lollipops, name of his CD. Danny?
Yeah, speaking of NBC, check out Comic-Con Fantasy Getaway with me. Just go to 971freefm.com, click on Danny's Comic-Con Fantasy Getaway, and I'll announce the winner Friday, and we will go to the show together, and you can check out all the new shows on NBC at nbc.com.
And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. I'm going to break off the Lincoln Monument, come over there and rape you with it.